If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
That was the greatest thing I've ever heard.
And now,
this is Santa Monica!
Our feature presentation.
That guy's going to be in every part of our show now, isn't he?
He's everywhere.
I love that dude.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show. Good morning, everybody. It's 5:31. It's Thursday, the 11th of October.
The shooter in Cleveland yesterday. Yes. I never saw his picture. Black guy, white guy.
I didn't see his picture either.
I don't know the story.
Oh. A 14-year-old gunman went in and started shooting up a school yesterday. Killed what? Four, Lisa?
Yes.
And then killed himself?
Yeah.
14 years old. He'd been having a lot of problems. He'd been arrested a couple times and had already threatened to blow up the school once. And he came back and showed them that they were wrong to suspend him. So, yeah, shot the place up. But his last name was Coon. That's why I was curious. I was just wondering if maybe that was part of the problem. Maybe that was what drove him to it.
I did hear that one of the teachers he shot, before he shot him, he said, "I used to like you."
Oh, what a bummer.
That's a blow.
The teacher's like,
I know, what do you say?
I'd like another chance.
Where did we go wrong?
can I make that up to you? Buy you a cup of coffee? Yeah. He's wearing a Marilyn Manson T-shirt, too, which is always going to be bad news for us and our station and people like us.
More
hatred.
That's
for sure. Because I'm sure it was the music that caused it.
That's always
about that.
That's always the case, though. It's always some way of saying, oh, it had to be the music.
Right.
But he had everything because he had the Marilyn Manson shirt. He had the black nail polish. He had a gun in each hand,
right.
You know, like he was coming out of a video game. I mean, he was the stereotypical school shooter. This guy had it all.
Wow.
I mean, this is a guy you should have seen it coming, you know?
Well, who knows? They did suspend him.
Who knows if they did? Yeah, maybe the other students did. I mean, that guy is nuts from the beginning, you can tell.
14 years old, by the way. How wrong do you have? How early do you have to go that wrong if you're shooting up a school at 14?
No kidding.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like it's possible to go that far south that quickly. But then again, you know, who knows?
Who knows, what his childhood was like.
Yeah.
By the way, you know, he could miss the Indians winning the World Series. I mean, at least wait like 2 weeks to find out. Right. You live in Cleveland. At least hang on for that and then decide.
You're taking for granted he's a baseball fan.
Well, if you're living in Cleveland, come on. You got the Indians got to be pretty important to you at this point.
I did have a clip of what he said just before he pulled the trigger.
Okay.
Nuts.
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 Boom, boom, boom.
Swing and a miss.
Nuts.
No.
You hadn't heard about the story, but you did have that clip available to you. You were prepared with that.
I'm always prepared with that.
And the other weird story that I thought was really interesting yesterday, and maybe no one else cares, I know that's unlikely coming from me, is everybody's heard the expression, win one for the Gipper, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's crazy.
And what's crazy? Oh, the story, Mike?
Yeah.
Now, the Gipper, although, you know, in our lifetime, we think of the Gipper as former President Ronald Reagan. That was his nickname, too. But there was a real Gipper. There was a real Notre Dame football player named George Gipp. And he's the one who famously, he died real young. He was real sick. And he, you know, he's a very famous Notre Dame player.
Oh, and that's where it came from?
Essentially, on his deathbed, he said, win one for the Gipper. And that was the big speech that Newt Rotney went out and gave to the team to, you know, spur him on to victory. And that's the Ronald Reagan connection, because Ronald Reagan was in the Newt Rockne movie, right?
Okay.
So anyways, so the reason I give you all this backstory is because this guy died in the 20s. They dug his body up yesterday, exhumed his body from the 1920s.
Why?
And they won't say.
Homecoming parade.
Family reasons.
for DNA
some sort
evidence.
Of DNA testing for some reason, but we don't know why. We don't know if there's somebody who's come forward who said, hey, that's my great-great-grandfather, or what the story is, or what they're trying to prove, or they think he was murdered. I mean, we don't know what happened, but they dug up his body. That's always weird to me when that happens.
Wow.
The only information they gave out were for family reasons for DNA testing. That's it's the only
family thing. Reasons DNA testing. That has to – wow, that's – they can do that? How many years later? 80, 100?
Yeah, it's like 70. Like 70 years later, somehow they – I mean, I don't know what's left. I guess you can get it off a bone or something. But 70 years later, they dug up the Gipper.
That's someone's job, by the way.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
Okay, this guy has been dead 70 years, so you're going to need to go dig him up.
What about the people that are going to pull him out of the casket?
Yeah.
And do whatever they need to do.
Bad jobs
oh,
right
that's
there.
That's nasty.
Yeah, no kidding. But anyway, it's weird when there's somebody famous like that, and then, you know, you think that story's done, and then they dig him up, and for what?
Well, maybe why wouldn't they tell us? It's not like, I don't know, whatever happened 50 years ago is like the killer's still on the loose or whatever, right?
Family reasons doesn't sound like crime. It sounds like someone's claiming a relative.
DNA.
Like he's a hoe, maybe.
Yeah.
That could be.
Maybe it's a Maury Povich show is doing it.
That could be.
is the Gipper the daddy?
No!
This corpse propped up in a chair.
Let's bury him again.
Maybe he had kids all over the Midwest. Maybe that's what we're fighting out here. So anyway.
Here's how your life and my life are different, Bean, is that you were following those two stories, and I was watching the new South Park. And
all right. I accidentally saw the end of that South Park because
I was hoping
South Park. You know, I taped Sarah's show. Sarah Silverman comes on after South Park, so I saw like the last 2 minutes of the South Park. And the story, Lisa, was
the best 2 minutes ever
about Randy, who I guess is what is he Kyle's dad? Is that right?
I think he's Stan's dad.
Who was Stan's dad? Stan's dad, Randy. Is trying to get into the Guinness Book of World Records for making the world's largest poo.
Oh, no.
There's a huge debate over who made the largest poo and does the old record really stand and what's required to make it poo.
And who was the former record holder, Bean?
If I understand from the last 2 minutes of the show, it was U2's Bono, wasn't
it? Was
it?
Bono, yes. That is correct. But if
what
you saw
the hell,
this was a bizarre one. Last week was Tourette's. It was funny as hell. This one was really weird. But if you saw King of Kong...
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They totally parody that because they call the measuring board and they certify him, and then all of a sudden Bono sends in a video
of him doing more.
Yes, and then they don't know for sure. They don't so
that's so
then
so great.
Yeah, so then Randy decides to do it again, but then the board says he's got to do it in front of them in Zurich, Switzerland, and it's just that was the strangest half hour of TV
Is
I've
Randy's
ever seen.
Kids like knocking on the door, Dad, not now. No, I'm doing a world record.
No, the kid was happy. The wife was miserable.
I can imagine.
Hated him.
So it's not
the
sexy.
Very end of the show. They show Randy, in a big public place with a huge crowd around him, sitting on a toilet, waiting to make the world's largest poo, and he starts making the poo, and it just starts. He just starts raising into the air as the poo gets bigger and bigger and bigger. It ends up being like 20 feet.
Oh, no.
That was maybe the dumbest thing I've ever seen in my life.
I thought that may have been the best thing I've ever seen in my life. That was crazy. And I'm so happy you saw the last 2 minutes because that had to be nutty not knowing what the story was about at first.
And then, by the way, briefly before we move on, then the Sarah Silverman show, and you saw the first part of, she gets put on a sexual offender list because somebody sees her licking her dog's butt because her dog is licking the butt all the time and she wants to know what's so great about it. So she licks it. She licks it to find out why he's so obsessed with licking his own butt. So that was the 1-2 punch you got on Comedy Central last night. And who says that we're not into the golden age of entertainment?
No.
You know what I mean?
It's a race to the bottom, people, and we're very close. That's good TV right there. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean show, shall we?
All right.
Mark Wahlberg's going to be on the show.
Oh,
hey,
so
how
good.
About that?
He's going to talk about this new movie, We Own the Night, that looks fantastic.
Yeah.
It sure does. And he was so great in The Departed.
He was. We also have LA Times author talking about rehab ripoffs, these plush places that people seem to be going to for rehab. And they're way expensive. And are they effective at all? There's a huge
They're
article.
Medically questionable in some cases, too. That's what's interesting.
Things you catch your coworkers doing, that's always good.
Oh.
You catch your coworker, whatever they happen to be on, on the website on porn or whatever. There's always someone caught doing something they shouldn't be doing.
Sure.
So, Mike, you were caught decorating one time, weren't you?
Yes. Not a Christmas tree either.
Really? Oh, I don't understand. Also, we're starting a new feature today called the Internet Roundup.
Woohoo!
So we've got that. And we're going to tell you about Anthony Kiedis and what he's upset about.
Oh, okay. Very
upset. List that he's on that I don't think will surprise you, but apparently surprised him.
Plus, I don't know if you heard the other day, but Jed the Fish does his Catch of the Day, and he did a remix, a Mark Ronson remix of a Bob Dylan song.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm.
So we're going to have some highlights of Jed just after 6.
Oh.
Playing Bob Dylan.
Bob Dylan, by the way, played on K-Rock. How weird is that?
That doesn't seem good to me, as he's one of the worst singers in the history of man.
Ridiculous.
But what?
It's ridiculous.
It is ridiculous that he's on.
No, it's ridiculous that you would say that he's the one of the worst singers. That's ridiculous.
He's one of the worst singers in the history of man.
Ay.
Listen, can't... let's go with this. Can't... You can... I'll give you songwriting.
Right.
If you give me crappy singer.
He's not a good singer. No, you can't say that he's a good singer.
Let's say a great songwriter.
Yes.
Bad singer.
He does not have a classically beautiful voice, but he's not
He has a classically crappy voice.
No, he does not. He does not. No.
I agree with Mike on the distinction that he does not have a good voice, but he's not a bad singer. And there is a difference between
Neil
the two.
Neil Young, I'll say, is a great songwriter who has a crappy voice. Like, he's a crappy
Him
singer.
Him too. He's exact same category.
I love Neil Young. I find him to be a horrible vocalist.
He is a horrible
Bob
vocalist.
Bob Dylan does not. He has a weird kind of strange...
Kind of strange, bad.
Tinge to his voice that makes it likable.
Okay. Anyway, that's coming up. Plus, don't forget Incubus. We are qualifying you to go to Guadalajara, Mexico for their final stop on the tour. And we're going to continue that this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. We'll take a break and come back with Ralph's Showbiz Beat.
I understand that Stan's dad was trying to make the world's largest poo, Ralph. That was the episode last night of South Park.
Yeah, don't get it. doesn't register with me.
Fantastic.
It's Thursday morning, time for the Showbiz Beat. Here's Ralph Garman.
You know, we were kidding yesterday when David Hasselhoff went into the hospital that, he must have had some alcohol poisoning. That's why he went in. Yeah, we were right.
Yeah.
Apparently he drank so much. So much. After a binge, he had to be hospitalized because his alcohol blood level was dangerously high.
Yeah. Dude. Yeah, his PR person said that he recognized that he needed some help from his doctor, which to me means blacked out and had to call an ambulance.
Yeah, choking on his own vomit,
right?
Basically.
How much do you have to drink to get to that point, Ralph?
All.
Okay. All of the alcohol?
All of the alcohol.
You know, he was in Romania shooting a movie for 6 weeks, and I'm guessing that there was a little drinking going on there.
Who's hiring David Hasselhoff to be in a movie, first of all?
You know the movie he's in?
No.
Anaconda 3.
Well, there you go.
Are you serious?
Yes, that's what he was shooting in
The
Romania.
Answer to that question is someone who's got $6,000 to blow.
That's true. And a coach ticket to Romania. Holy crap. Maybe Dave should just buy himself a liquor store. Just say goodbye to all
Get over it.
Yeah. Today should be interesting. He's set to attend a mediation hearing in regard to the custody of his children.
Oh, good.
Let me see. Bobby Brown, meanwhile, had a heart attack.
Yeah.
Surprise, surprise. Imagine pumping your body full of all kinds of blow and then your heart explodes. Apparently, according to TMZ.com, Bobby did indeed have a mild heart attack yesterday. Went to the Tarzana Regional Medical Center, where Kevin... hung out with him, apparently. It's in Kevin's neck of the woods.
That is in my neck.
Doctors checked him out and released him, and Bobby said he didn't know what the fuss was all about. Well, when you have a heart attack, people tend to fuss over you. It's just the way people are.
Yeah.
Mark Anthony's ex-wife, former Miss Universe Dayanara Torres, says that Jennifer Lopez is indeed with child.
Oh, thank goodness.
Why is she talking about this? What does she know about it?
I don't know, but can you imagine Jennifer Lopez? I mean, that's the person you want to break the news about your pregnancy, your husband's ex-wife.
Oh, yeah.
That's who you want talking about you to the people. That makes things very comfortable. Lindsay Lohan, more details about her time at the Cirque Lodge in Utah coming forward. In Touch Weekly magazine says that Lindsay was responsible for keeping the common area clean while at the facility because the Cirque Lodge is famous for having its patients do chores in order to make them feel more grounded while they're recovering.
Right.
Lindsay's favorite job? Making coffee for the gym.
Where are you finding this information?
In Touch Weekly magazine.
She liked that more than banging the other patients? I mean, that was...
Well, they're not exclusive.
That's not a job.
Oh, okay.
That's a perk.
You can do both.
It's a hobby. She admits that she does have a new boyfriend. However, it's not Cesare Bono, as we originally were led to believe. His name is Riley Giles.
Who's
Riley Giles.
He's a dude.
He was okay. The guy
that she's... He's a skateboarder or something.
First guy she laid eyes on when she came back.
Yeah.
That's how it works with her.
Along with Riley, she has plans to visit Africa now on a humanitarian mission in December.
Good. Yes. That's who we need representing us.
I'm glad they all find God and they read the Bible and they start doing charity when they get out. Because, you know, if you're in Africa, odds of the paparazzi catching you drinking out of a Boda bag are lesser. So I think that's a good idea for her to go there.
She'll go to Africa and help there as soon as Paris Hilton gets that girls' school off the ground that she's been talking about since she got out of jail.
No, she's going to do it.
Sure.
Yeah. The Paris Hilton School for the Terminally Slutty. Denise Richards and Charlie Sheen, this is just getting uglier and uglier. Now, according to the New York Post, Denise is going around telling people that Charlie is a hostile, disturbed man. Not only did he make fun of her bald mother who was battling cancer, but when she took their oldest daughter, Sam, in for her baby shots for inoculations, Charlie was screaming at her that she had poisoned their children.
Really?
Yeah.
One of those guys that doesn't want any of those booster shots or whatever?
I guess so, inoculations. Yeah, Charlie was supposedly so mad with her, he threw a flower pot and chair at her.
Okay.
Wow.
Guess he missed.
There's
I saw a League of Their Own. Not League of Their Own, Major League.
Right. Yeah.
Guy can't hit the side of a barn.
This is another one of those, maybe the kids are better off with neither situations.
Yeah, it's really
David
good.
Hasselhoff would be better raising these kids. Charlie
this
has
a mess.
Charlie has alleged that Denise has 30 dogs.
Okay.
Showing that she has some mental issues.
Dude.
However, Denise says she is a proud owner of only 10 dogs.
That's a lot.
Let me tell you something. If you have over two pets, you're nuts.
Yes.
That's science.
That is science.
That's scientifically proved. If you have more than two pets, you have issues.
Who on this show has more than two pets?
I don't think two is the cutoff.
Two is the cutoff, by the way.
Two is two. Three is 100.
According to scientists, two is the cutoff.
Is it two total?
Two total. Two total pets.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Why, are you gone?
No, I'm right at two.
You're right at the edge.
Yeah, be careful. Don't tip over that line.
Lisa, right at the edge.
Right at the edge.
Being well over that line.
Well over the edge.
Yeah.
Well, technically, I have 13, but it doesn't seem it
could be used in court against you, Bean, to show your mental instability.
And it should be.
Hey, since we have a moment, I'm going to ask Kevin, since he's the expert on all kids' issues. Did you guys ever have the discussion or do any research on whether the inoculations are good or bad? Because there seems to be a growing segment of people who really are getting on board. The inoculations cause more harm than good sometimes.
Yeah, I don't. I didn't buy that at all. No, I guess
seems
the answer
like
to that
we've
question.
Stamped out disease, and that's a good thing.
Yeah, like right. We know what
not
doing
all disease,
pretty
but
well.
Some diseases.
Where are the news stories? Oh, the poor 2-year-old died of inoculations against polio.
I'll tell you what I did find out yesterday, though. Moon landing, total hoax.
What?
Really?
Yep. That didn't happen?
Total hoax.
Wow, I bought that one, too.
Zac Efron of High School Musical.
Stop it with the bell.
Yes.
Let the abuse of the bell.
Go on.
Tells Bliss Magazine what he looks for in a relationship.
Me?
Oh, that hurts. Listen, making them all back.
Listen up, Bean.
Okay.
Trust. Communication.
Okay.
Passion. Compassion. And romance are crucial, says Zach.
It's all Bean, isn't it?
I look for someone who's happy, caring, and sweet. I like to believe in love at first sight. And added, of course, it helps if he's a dude.
That's
the best news I've heard all day.
Dance,
indeed. Britney Spears will be in court today for a hearing over her visitation rights with her children, currently in custody with her ex-husband. Apparently, believe it or not, Britney has passed more than one random drug test so far.
That's what Harvey was saying yesterday. That's surprising. But
they say the chances of her getting some custody back of the boys is good. Her lawyers convinced her to actually come into the hearing today versus the other ones where she didn't appear.
Wow.
Because it would show that she has more interest in retaining custody of the children than not showing up to
and
the
hearing. And she listened to that whole sentence and accepted it?
Apparently so. She got that much information.
How about that?
On a side note, the entire Spears Fedeline family now has pink eye.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Remember K-Fed was wearing the patch?
Mm-hmm.
He was wearing the
K
patch because he had pink eye?
Yeah.
Now the whole family, including Britney, all have the pink eye. So I don't know what they're doing over there, but stop rubbing eyes, I guess. Stop with the butterfly kisses. Whatever the hell you're doing to give each other pink eye, you freaks. And Michelle Rodriguez.
No bell.
Really?
No bell. No, I don't think so either, dude.
I think she's tough but hot.
No.
Former star, of course, of Lost.
We need somebody to break into Bean's house and take the bell.
Yeah, we really do.
Sorry, back to you.
We'll be going to jail for as much as 120 days.
Wow.
After violating her DUI probation. Michelle was wearing one of those alcohol monitoring ankle bracelets.
Uh-huh.
It caught her having a drink three times. She's got the freaking anklet on, registering her alcohol level off of her skin. Three times it went off because she was drinking.
Does it show a level on it so she can go, let me see if I can get it higher. Watch this.
I don't think so. I think it just indicates when you're ingesting alcohol.
Yeah, well, that's stupid.
She doesn't really care.
Court was also displeased with the fact that while she produced paperwork saying she had completed her community service here in Los Angeles,
right,
she was in New York at the time. They looked at the timeline and said, oh, you were picking up garbage? You know, somebody signed off on this, huh? You were in New York.
Oh, my God.
You got long arms.
Wow.
Yeah, they had an ass full of her. 120 days in the joint.
Not an ideal prisoner.
By the way, don't you get the idea she'd like prison?
Yeah.
Send her somewhere else.
I'm finally home.
And finally, people are recognizing what I've known for 10 years. Esquire magazine on stands this week has announced their sexiest woman alive for 2007. That woman?
America Ferrara.
Charlize Theron.
Oh,
yeah! Come on! Come on!
She's definitely got to be one of the top, for sure.
She's got a new sexy pictorial in the issue.
Yes.
And talks about her life and career, her upbringing
Hello,
in South
poon.
Africa. Yeah. And also about the fact she admits that Reindeer Games with Ben Affleck was a bad, bad movie.
Really?
Yep.
Awesome. You don't hear actors turn on their own work very often.
No. She said she had no illusions about it, but she wanted to work with the director, John Frankenheimer, who's a legendary director, and she said that's why she did it, but she knew it was bad.
Yeah.
She was good in it, though,
she was,
by the way.
She's good in everything.
Have you gone to see her in the Valley of Elah?
I have not seen the Valley of Elah.
Oh,
yet,
she's so good in that.
I've heard good things about it, though.
That's a funny, funny movie from what I hear.
It sure is. Yeah. Laugh riot.
Oh. Well, you
uplifting.
Know.
Punchline after punchline.
When you got Tommy Lee Jones and Susan Sarandon and dead soldiers in the war, that is a combination for hilarity.
Yep.
Today's celebrity birthdays, got an ass full.
Yeah?
Michelle Trachtenberg. Remember her? It was Dawn on Buffy?
Yes. Sure.
Yes. 22 years old today. Emily Deschanel, who plays Dr. Brennan over there on Bones.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
She's 31. Constance Zimmer.
Yeah.
We talked about her just recently. She played Dana Gordon over on Entourage, the agent.
Oh, right, right.
All right.
Ari slept with. Just saw her at the King's party. She's 37 years old today. Jane Krakowski, who is on 30 Rock. She is 39. Luke Perry turns 41 years old today. Joan Cusack. Brother of John, of course, for many feature films, is 45.
David, or sister.
Did I say what?
Brother.
Oh, I meant he's her brother.
Right.
Yes. David Morse, one of my favorite actors in the world. He was in Disturbia. He was the bad guy in Disturbia.
Oh, the killer.
He was in House a season ago. Played the detective on House for that arc. Incredible actor.
Giant square head, that guy?
Giant dude. Yep. He is 54 years old today. And Daryl Hall of Hall & Oates is 58. Come on with the Hall. Woo!
Yeah! Whoa! No can do! I can't go for that! No!
Oh! Yeah, the blue-eyed soul of Hall & Oates.
Which one was this? Is this the talented one or the nobody?
This is the blonde talent one, the one who sang lead, yeah. Daryl Hall is 58 years old today. Philly boy, that's why I bring him up. Philly boy. Hates Philadelphia. Hates it. Wrote a song called Don't Want to Spend Another Fall in Philadelphia. And he was going to school there.
That's funny.
Not a proud son of Philadelphia. But I salute him nonetheless. Ralph Garman, I Walk the Movie Beat.
Just before we get into what we were going to talk about, I think we need to make a quick phone call.
Oh, okay. Good idea. As you know, once a week, somebody doesn't show up for work here on the Kevin and Bean Show. It's a rather lax environment here at the old radio station.
Your station has a lot of problems.
Well, today it happens to be Alex. Sister producer Alex. By the way, thank God we have her cell phone number because there's no
way
why call her at home, you know? Chances are she's not there.
She hasn't been at home in about 3 months.
Yeah.
She's like Steve-O. She just likes to find a new place to sleep every night.
Uh-huh. It's got to be weird for Alex, though, and all super whores, to wake up every morning and have to calculate a new distance to work.
Where am
Depending
I again?
On where you ended up.
Yeah, that is tough.
Oh, Riverside.
Wait, what city
that
are we in? What highway are we near?
Alex.
Oh, my God. I totally overslept.
How are you?
We seriously just woke you up.
Oh, my freaking God.
Is this that? What were you doing last night, Miss Alex?
I wish I had an exciting story for you.
Are you talking to us from your own home or someone else's?
I am in my own bed right now.
All right, roll over and see if there's any guy or girl or animal there.
Ew, animal, no, being gross.
All right, so you're alone.
Yes, oh my God, I'm so sorry, guys.
Go ahead and come on in whenever you'd like.
Yeah, okay, cool,
okay,
thanks.
Bye.
Okay.
Love that. Always love that.
That's such a shock. You're like, oh my God, where am I?
The rules here are you don't wake them up off the air. You don't call them immediately when you find out that they're sleeping in. You wait and you hope that they sleep for a while, and then you wake them up rudely like that because that's the worst.
Yeah.
Although I wish, knowing that she was still sound asleep, I wish we could have waited like another hour, and then it would have been even worse when she woke up.
Exactly.
All right, it's 6:12 on the Kevin and Bean Show. This week on Jed the Fish's Catch of the Day, which is a new music feature that he does every afternoon on his program here, he played a song from an up-and-coming young artist from Hibbing, Minnesota that I think has a lot of promise. I think this kid's going far. And his name is Bob Dylan. Is that who we're talking about here?
Bob Dylan. Yeah.
Oh, that guy.
That guy, Bean.
He played a remix of a Bob Dylan song. And we have Jed in the studio with us now to talk about that. Good morning, Jed. How are you?
My hat's alpaca.
Okay. How did you pick a Bob Dylan remix for your catch of the day?
My aunt was making rhubarb pie, and she accidentally substituted salt for sugar and made it bitter.
I think the answer Kevin was looking for there is this is the first ever authorized Bob Dylan remix, and it's done by the great DJ Mark Ronson, and that's why you thought it would be interesting for the listeners to hear what that sounds like.
Ronson, Jedum Fish.
Here's a little taste of that song.
I just can't do that done before. I just can't beg you.
Seriously, that's a joke voice, right? That's someone making fun of Bob Dylan.
That was a very popular song for him about 40 years ago, and it has now been brought into the 21st century with the remix. I think it's outstanding.
Thank God.
I love it.
Now, Jed, did you talk to Bob? Was he on your program?
Actually, I did. It was shocking to me that we were able to line up an interview with Mr. Dylan. Mm-hmm. And because sometimes you're nice to me and we can be friends before it starts getting emotional and you turn away from the conversation. Right. I thought maybe I'd bring in that interview for you to play
here.
It's a little rough, but I'd let you debut it here instead of my own show. Here's my interview with Bob Dylan Carrick. It's 106.7 K-Rock Hero Q. Jed the Fish here. A couple days ago, I played a real interesting song from Mark Ronson where he was using audio from a Bob Dylan song that I really like it. It's interesting. And luckily, I was able to line up a musical legend. Here he is, Mr. Bob Dylan on the phone. Hello.
Hey. Hey.
You're stirring me right now. Do you prefer to wash your clothes with bleach in your detergent or regular without the bleach?
What?
What if your name was Posterior Prostitute?
I'm talking about music and the song.
Are you a big fan of Terrence Trent D'Arby's earlier work? Or are you more fond of his more avant-garde stuff after he fell out of commercial spotlight?
Yeah, idiot.
I'm sorry, Mr. Dylan.
Hey, give me a good detergent and Saint Derby.
And now at your extended age, do your balls hang a bit lower? Do you finger paint? Have you ever been a fan of finger painting?
I'm sorry, what? In all your years that you were a drug abuser, have you ever sucked?
I think that went well.
I do too.
Yeah. Great.
I guess what I'm saying is I think there's too much bandwidth. I think the internet has been a useful tool. I can't imagine my life without it. But at this point, we need to start putting some limits on stuff that people are putting online.
Are you kidding? It's just now getting to the good stuff.
Exactly.
It occurred to me this week when I saw mice surfing. I said, that's it. There's no need for mice surfing on the internet.
How do you know? Maybe mice like to surf.
Here's the thing. The internet didn't make mice surf.
Right.
Mice have always surfed.
That's right.
We just now get to see it because it's on the internet.
Explain to me, Kevin, because this is more in your wheelhouse than mine.
Yes.
Explain to me the thinking behind the people who said, I know, let's take mice, put them on tiny little surfboards and film it and put it online. How did that conversation go?
Well, it began with alcohol, and then you can just use your imagination
sure.
from there. But that's the good stuff. See, I don't want the bad stuff on the internet. I agree with you. We take all the news off.
Oh, you want less CNN.com and more my surfing. That's what you're saying.
That's what we're looking for. And so we have a new feature here on the Kevin and Bean Show called the Internet Roundup.
Yeah! Click that mouse and open your browser. Pull up your shirt and drop them trousers. We've got shots that need your viewing. Life's so hard that you'll start spewing. Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup.
Wow.
Pretty good, huh?
Wow is all you can say to that.
That's good, right?
That needs to be said.
Yeah.
So you go to the KROQ.com website, you go to the Kevin and Bean section, and we have a video section on the website where there's a bunch of videos that Lightning Scorsese, our producer, has made that are very good, including, by the way, the very controversial song featuring Britney's two kids rapping, which I think you'll enjoy very much. But we've also provided some links to some of the other hot videos around the internet, including the mice surfing, for instance. That's one easy place you can go to find that.
And, Bean, do you have the clip? I'm going to ask for it in a second. I just want to know if you have the new Wheels on the Block. Do you have that clip?
I believe we have that up at KROQ.com. Yeah, I believe that's on the video.
No, but I'm saying, do you have it that you can play? Because Lightning sent me a clip, and it kind of ruins the effect. If you don't have it,
okay.
I'll play his clip.
I think I can find it.
Okay, we have links up there, and one of them is to Power Thirst. I don't know if you've seen this or not, but this is actually quite funny.
Hey, do you want to feel so energetic? Try Power Thirst. Energy drinks for people who need gratuitous amounts of energy. With all new flavors like chocolate. Chocolate energy. It's like adding chocolate to an electrical store. Sound the alarm. You're going to be uncomfortably energetic. What's that? You want strawberry? Well, how about rawberry? Made with lightning. Real lightning. Sports. You'll be good at them. It's an energy drink for men. Energy. These aren't your dad's puns. These are energy puns. Turbo puns.
So that's a pretty funny one.
Wow.
And then there's an Indian thriller with English subtitles. It's these guys doing the entire thriller video.
Mm-hmm.
But the words are all changed. And the English subtitles say, girly man, girly man, girly man. That's the whole thing.
And then there's your favorites. The Boys on Wheels.
The new Wheels on the Block.
Oh, is that the one you went instead?
No, this is fine. Boys on Wheels.
They're in wheelchairs, and they may be just a little bit retarded. Here they are with their smash hit.
The very first time I saw you, you were working in the coffee shop nearby. I was sitting there watching you from my wheelchair.
They're on stage on a Norwegian television show.
You saw the coffee smiling so bright. I thought, my God, their ass is time. I wanted to hold you close. Hold you through the night.
Fortunately, the lyrics are printed underneath. Now, what is going on with this video? Explain what these guys are all about.
Retarded guys in wheelchairs singing.
But what retarded guys in wheelchairs say, I know, guys, let's get the band back together. When does that happen?
I think Ralph went through the lyrics rather closely, and he thinks that these guys are comedians just making something funny.
They're not
Meaning
really guys in wheelchairs?
They're not really retarded guys in wheelchairs?
I think that's the theory. I'm not sure.
No,
Ralph just came and shaking his head
off.
No.
Yeah. You have to actually watch the videos sometimes in order to understand what they're about.
Right.
Bean.
Yes.
First of all, the guys aren't retarded. They have cerebral palsy. That's why they're in the motorized wheelchairs.
Okay.
They're not retarded.
Okay.
Their minds work fine. They're just not able to speak very clearly because they've got a muscular disorder.
Okay.
Okay.
And it is a parody. These are comedians from a Norwegian comedy show, and they do a parody of boy bands in wheelchairs. And they do a whole slew of songs about being in love in a wheelchair. I took you a date for sushi. I accidentally stuck you in the eye with a chopstick. You're bleeding from the eyes, and now you're dating other guys, is one of the lyrics of the song.
But they really, they do have cerebral palsy, yes, for real. So these are guys in wheelchairs who are making fun of boy bands.
Yes, yes. Being themselves, and they realize that the joke's on them. They realize how funny it is to have a boy band with guys in wheelchairs, basically.
Yeah, and they're all dressed up in matching white suits, and one of them's got the gay fedora that there's always somebody in the band that does.
They got choreographed rolling instead of dancing. They roll around the stage and the choreograph. They have another song where they do a whole medley of songs they change the lyrics to, like John Bon Jovi and all this kind of stuff. It's very, very funny stuff.
Yeah. Wind machine blowing their hair. Yeah. It is the most bizarre thing I think I've seen since mice surfing. I got to be honest.
It is good, yeah. And mice surfing, by the way, also awesome. But if you have stuff like this that you want to send, Bean at krock.com.
I'm not the guy.
He finds this funny.
This is so Ralph at krock.com. Are you kidding me?
Lisa May at krock.com.
Oh,
Lisa at krock.com.
Now you can send it to me. I like this crap. The crappier, the better. Kevin at krock.com. It's 6:32 now.
So you can email any of us here on the show. And by the way, if you're sending those links to funny videos, it's Lisa at krock.com. Lisa at krock.com. That's her email address.
No, I think it was Kevin at krock.com.
Or you can write to Kevin or Bean or Lightning or Dave or whoever you want to write to. All the email addresses are up at the website. And from time to time, we do like to read a few of them on the air. And let's start with this. This is in response to the conversation we had a few days ago about the blind. Because I hate the blind. I say put them down is what I say.
It's Mr. Sensitive speaking now.
Jeez.
So we had a complaint. We had that listener who called in. Like blind people can listen to the radio, by the way. We had that listener who called in and was berating me for my comments on the blind. So I got some support from Steve in Temecula. Come on, guys. Now you're going to let blind people start listening to the show. What's next? Satan worshipers? Vegetarians? If you start catering to all the whiners, this show is headed straight down the crapper. We've already lost Ralph Sex You. We already lost the new detective. Wah, wah, wah. I can't see. Complain, complain, complain. You should have told that woman to get off her fat ass and go get a job. Maybe if she had to work 14 hours a day at a motel sex scrubbing toilet, she wouldn't have time to call in and ruin the show for regular good people. Sincerely, Steve. That's an excellent point, Steve.
Wow.
Thank you very much. It's important to keep the blind in their place. I agree with Steve on this.
I didn't think we could find...
there's nowhere to go with this.
I didn't think we could find as insensitive a listener as we have been, but he's found a love.
Yep.
He's found a lifelong love. Which brings me to the next email, and it's shocking to me, but the subject line is, Leave Bean Alone.
Thank you very much.
And I'm guessing it's from yesterday's Thanks for That Info.
Oh, okay.
Where he was talking about his microwave until we all puked. Shut the hell up. We love hearing all the dumb comments Bean makes each day. And every day, don't discourage him. Why don't you just leave our Bean alone? From Josh.
They don't understand how much we protect them.
No, they don't.
They have no idea what this would be like if we just let him go willy-nilly.
Dear Kevin and Bean, hey, it's Mike from the OC. I love the show. I wanted to let you know what I'm really excited about, and don't think I'm not keeping track. It's only 44 days till the Butterball Turkey Hotline calls.
Oh, come on! Way too early to start looking forward to that.
44 days. P.S. Tell Lisa she puts a rise in my Levi's. Rawr!
Can I hear you do that again?
Well done.
No, you get on. I'm just... reading it the best I can. Here's a question, and I appreciate the fact that sometimes people think we have insight. They figure if they've got an argument at home, they can write to us and we can settle it for them. Some are tougher than others. My coworker and I are having a heated debate at work. I'm hoping you can settle. Which band is better, Linkin Park or Foo Fighters? Would you please shed some light on the situation? Your ruling will stand. Rosa writes in. Linkin Park or Foo Fighters? Well, I think... they're both very talented bands. We're both very, big fans of both of them here on K-Rock. And it's purely subjective. I mean, it's personal taste. It's hard to say which is better or not, but clearly Foo Fighters is the answer.
Dear Kevin and Bean, I was listening to your Ask a Cop segment and wanted to offer another idea for the segment. By the way, we have maybe 100 ideas for this.
Yeah.
Ask a hooker, ask a homeless person. We have all kinds of stuff. Ask a Mormon. Ask a Scientologist where we don't even have to be here. So that's great. And I wanted to offer up another idea for the segment. How about ask a sex toy store owner?
Oh, interesting.
Each semester, I do lectures at some of the local colleges in human sexuality classes where I explain some of the different items that are out there. I'm not your typical sex toy shop owner. I'm also an OC wife and mom.
Wow.
Okay.
That's an interesting idea.
It's kind of like weeds, where she's got kids, but she's selling weed. This woman is a sex toy owner.
Huh.
Ask a sex toy owner. So
I like it.
You will have to do that as well.
And finally, while we were talking a few moments ago about the videos that are up at KROQ.com in the Kevin and Bean section, you know we interviewed Danny Blaze, the average homeboy, a couple of weeks ago, right?
Oh, mm-hmm. My God. That guy is amazing.
He is he's a white guy who's been trying to make it as a rapper for 20-something years, and I think his video has captured the imagination of the KROQ listeners. And this listener writes in. His name is T, but not Mr. T. He says, "Hey, you guys, I was just watching the Danny Blaze video you have linked to your site. I thought you said he was a white rapper, not a gay porn star." That just seems...
He does look like...
He doesn't have enough problems in his life. Let's not pile on. I think the average homeboy is doing the Lord's work out there with his rapping.
You want to get
I
blazed?
I think it's inexplicable that he hasn't broken through.
Blaze me.
Remember his last name is Blaze, so his big catchphrase is, "You've been blazed." Here's some of Average Homeboy.
I get up every morning and make my own bed. I'm down to earth. I don't have a big head. For enjoyment, I like to shoot some hoops, but not until I eat all my Fruit Loops.
How can that guy not make it? This was 1980.
Four or five, something like that, yeah. Because the music business is corrupt, because it's unjust, because it's just not fair, that's why.
He didn't pay off the
rent. Shining my car brings me lots of joy. I guess I'm just an average homeboy.
Average homeboy.
That's our favorite part.
Average homeboy.
Average.
Average homeboy.
I say we start spinning this full-time at KROQ.
Absolutely.
Average homeboy.
So then he sent us cards to thank us after we had him on the radio. These cards, they were business cards, but like maybe three times as big, and they had pictures of him, and he had fire coming out of his hands. And
yes.
He said, "You've been blazed."
Fantastic.
Really,
we're gonna
do
everything we can to make sure he makes it.
Acoustic Christmas. That's all I'm saying. Two words. Acoustic Christmas.
Once again on this morning's Kevin and Bean Show, we're going to hand out a complete Incubus CD catalog and qualify you for a grand prize drawing. We'll do tomorrow in the 7 o'clock hour, a trip for two to see the band in concert on the final stop of their tour in Guadalajara, Mexico.
Aye, aye, aye.
Plus an autographed lithograph from the band, which, by the way, very difficult to say, autographed lithograph. But your chance to qualify is coming up, and the grand prize drawing tomorrow morning right here on KROQ. Good morning, Ralph Garman. How are you?
Autographed lithograph.
Okay, so you can say it.
Just saying. Autographed lithograph.
All right.
Autographed lithograph.
Show off.
Autographed lithograph.
Notice I'm not even trying.
Now say entrepreneur.
Entrepreneur.
Ooh.
Double burn.
Bean.
Yeah.
Time for the showbiz beat.
You schooled me.
Raconteur.
Oh, my God.
Oh.
I got them all.
All my weak spots.
All the words I can say now.
Michelle Rodriguez.
Yes.
You know her, of course, from Lost, Fast and the Furious, Blue Crush, Girl Fight.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Los Angeles County Jail. Sentenced to 180 days in Los Angeles yesterday for violating her probation on her previous drunken driving hit-and-run offenses.
That's like 9 hours with good behavior.
Listen to this, though. Oh. Biatch. Yesterday, Judge Davian Mitchell,
mm-hmm.
he or she, ordered that Michelle Rodriguez not be granted work furlough, early release, or home confinement for her sentence.
Wow. Someone's angry.
Yeah. Well, they've given this woman every possible break they could. Her violation of her probation stems from a 2004 plea to no contest, the equivalent of a guilty, basically, for three traffic offenses in Los Angeles, including hit and run and drunken driving. She was sentenced to 60 days in jail for a probation violation in May 2006, but released just after 4 hours due to overcrowding. Then she got popped again in Hawaii for drinking and driving.
Right.
This time, they've had an assful of her because she had to restrain herself from drinking for 90 days, according to her latest probation agreement.
Right.
And she had to wear an alcohol monitoring bracelet around her ankle, which really be an anklet, wouldn't it?
Sure.
For 90 days, that's all she had to do. Well, the alarm went off three times while she was wearing it.
Oops.
Showing that she was drinking at least three times while wearing the monitoring device.
Watch, I can make it go off.
So they brought her back into the courtroom, and they said, "Look, Girl Fight, Tough Girl, Blue Crush, ooh, Ana Lucia Cortez. You're going to jail. Booyakah." And so she is.
"You're an uneducated alcoholic."
got that going for her.
Yeah. That isn't good for you.
Britney Spears reached her snapping point yesterday with the paparazzi.
I thought we just talked to Harvey. They were her
it's
slaves.
A love affair, yeah.
That she was not happy with them yesterday.
They were her assistants.
She was upset because they impeded her from getting into Target in Culver City. Listen, you white trash piece of crap shopping at Target, you...
Hey, Target has everything, first of all.
First of all.
But second of all, she does call all of the paparazzi and say, I'm going to go to such and such a place at such and such a time.
I don't believe that anymore, by the way, because she can't escape them. They're all waiting outside her house.
They
just follow her wherever she goes.
He said that yesterday.
Yeah, he said she used to do that. But, I mean, now there's never a time when they're not on her, so she didn't even have to send up the flag anymore.
Brittany was upset because they blocked her from shopping.
Yeah, you can't do that.
Brittany says that she's so over it and shouted, what the F do you guys want?
Your picture.
You falling apart.
Brittany's got a new assistant, apparently snapped at the Rent-A-Cop security guy who was doing very little to control the situation in the store.
Did the paparazzi go into the store?
I do not know. Oh, yes. See, a paparazzi followed her into the store. There you go, Lisa.
Well, it seems like the store could kick them out.
Well, but the store security isn't exactly, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're not trained to deal with this kind of stuff.
Wow.
Here's the thing. You got a brand new assistant? Write out a list. Here's what I need from Target.
Right.
Q-tips, Pampers, Oxycontin.
They have that Target?
Sure. They got a pharmacy there, don't they?
I don't
and then
know.
Send her out. And then send her out, and then you don't have to worry about it.
Kind of is the point.
Kind of is the point, yeah. I dislike her enormously.
Yeah.
More interesting casting news about that upcoming Star Trek prequel. J.J. Abrams has confirmed that Eric Bana, Australian actor who played the Incredible Hulk, amongst other roles. He was in Munich as well. Great in Munich.
He was great.
Yes. He will be the villain in the upcoming Star Trek movie. And the talks are going on with Chris Pine, whose last big role was in Lindsay Lohan's movie Just My Luck. He was her co-star in that, to play the young Captain James T. Kirk.
Wow.
So
that's
a
nice role.
That would be a nice gig for him.
That's the movie without William Shatner, right?
Yes.
He's not in.
Shatner won't be in, but Leonard Nimoy, who played the original Spock, will be. And of course, we know that Zachary Quinto, who plays Siler on Heroes, will be the young Spock. But Chris Pine going to, from Kirk after working with Lindsay Lohan. Now it's official. Bobby Brown had a heart attack.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That isn't good for you.
It's shocking. If you pack your arteries with cocaine and then your heart attacks you.
That doesn't help your heart?
I guess not. His publicist, or rather his attorney, Phaedra Parks, says that Bobby did indeed have a mild heart attack yesterday. They went to the Tarzana Regional Medical Center where doctors checked him out and then released him. Bobby says he didn't have a heart attack. He's denying it. Like most of his life, he's living in complete denial.
Well, what's the point of denying? If you have a heart attack, you have a heart attack. What's the point of that?
Because, you know, then they want to hire him for that big concert tour.
Wait a minute.
He probably also says that he and Whitney are doing fine, too, by the way.
Yeah, sure. Never been happier as a couple.
The end is near.
Sure is, John. Sean P. Diddy Puff Daddy Combs is having a busy week. First, he admitted fathering a fifth child with Sarah Chapman. Now he is facing a multi-million dollar lawsuit. Apparently, a hip-hop promoter named James Walden alleges that on June 1st of this year, he attempted to say hello to Diddy.
You can't do that.
While at a nightclub. This prompted Sean to order his henchmen to beat him up.
Did he look at him in the eyes or something? Was that the problem with the hello?
TMZ.com says that Walden's claims include being kicked, chased, and punched around the club, receiving injuries including bruises, contusions, lacerations, and injuries to his mouth and teeth.
So he was running away and they were chasing and hitting and kicking.
Apparently, yes. And James ran like a whipped dog. He's requesting a mere $4 million from Diddy and his entourage.
That's how he rolls.
He'd like another $500,000 from the club where it all happened. So,
well, you can't say hi to Diddy. Come on.
If Diddy will pay me $4 million to beat me up, I'll say hi to him.
I'll take it too. Yeah.
I'll take the beating. For that kind of coin?
Sure.
No problem. And congratulations to just the second best woman in the world after my wife, Charlize Theron.
It's funny, off the air, you reversed that.
Oh, shut up. I did not.
Saying off the air.
Honey, don't believe Kevin. You know him. Duh.
She is in the Esquire magazine Sexiest Woman Alive issue for 2007. She's got a brand new sexy pictorial that she shot just for the magazine and a terrific interview which reveals not only her feelings about growing up in South Africa during apartheid, but also about her career, including the fact that she admits Reindeer Games was a bad, bad movie.
Yeah, it was.
I love that kind of honesty.
Yeah.
You don't hear it much in Hollywood.
She said she wanted to work with John Frankenheimer, the director, and so she did it. But she knew going in it wasn't going to be a great film.
Did they edit out her comments about the love of her life, Ralph Garman?
Apparently they did, yeah. Well, once again, I ended up on the cutting room floor. Why can't we talk to her anymore? Why doesn't she talk to us?
I don't know how many times we've asked in the last little while.
We should ask every day until she says yes.
I think we talked to her. I think the last time we talked to her, correct me if I'm wrong, Ralph, was shortly after she won her Academy Award. I think we had her on to congratulate her, but that seemed like
the end. I think so. It may have been around Ian Flux.
Yeah.
I'm thinking maybe it was the last time we talked with her. Remember on my birthday, she came in, she brought me a cake and a bottle of Dom Perignon.
I sure do.
Remember she showed up for my birthday?
Oh, yeah.
She's the best.
What a sweetie. She's the best.
Oh, yeah. I would do everything to her. I would
better
wreck
your wife,
that chick.
You were saying.
I did not say that. I'm guessing it's the boyfriend that's keeping her away from me. That's what it is.
Oh,
that's
sure.
Why she can't come
jealousy.
Anymore.
Yeah.
Because he's concerned.
Sure, of course.
And rightly so.
When she lays eyes on you.
Given our chemistry and our history, he's like, if I let her go see that Ralph Garman bloke, then she might fall back in love with him and out of love with me. I don't know if she was dating Michael Caine, but... You know. And this is creepy on so many levels. You know the name Lou Pearlman? Does it ring a bell to you?
Yes.
Certainly, yes.
This is the bastard responsible for NSYNC and the Backstreet Boys.
Oh, right.
He's the guy we have to blame for that.
Put those bands together.
Yes.
Yes.
He is firing back against allegations that he engaged in inappropriate behavior with Nick Carter and the other boys in his harem.
Who's claiming that?
Apparently, there was a story on Radar Online. Vanity Fair. I'm sorry, Vanity Fair did this. He shot back in RadarOnline.com, this interview. But Vanity Fair magazine did a scathing piece on him, saying that he touched the boys inappropriately while he was working with them. He says the writers never checked into the accuracy of the charges. There was one scene, apparently, one tale that was told about him inviting one of the young men to look under his towel when he got out of the shower. Lou says that's physically impossible.
What?
Because he's never found a towel big enough to wrap around him when he gets out of the shower.
Is that a penis joke or is he fat?
He's fat.
He's way fat.
He's a big fat guy. That's a bad visual right there.
That's a really bad visual.
Yeah.
I'll have to get a copy of that.
Nope.
Once he was washing his butt, he lost the soap. This is not a thin man.
Is that one of the other stories?
Yeah.
Isn't he in jail or going to jail for millions of dollars of tax evasion?
Yeah. Gee,
the guy's got nothing but trouble.
Really?
Because
didn't he make hundreds of millions of dollars?
More millions than you could ever count.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ridiculous amount.
An idiot.
Well, we heard he hand-selected the members of these bands, but I guess we didn't know how much.
Oh, no, you didn't! Today's celebrity birthday is U-God from Wu-Tang Clan.
Yes.
Is 37 years old. Today, Michelle Trachtenberg from Buffy turns 22. Emily Deschanel plays the lead on Bones. She's 31 years old today. Speaking of television, have you watched the Pushing Daisies?
I have.
Yes.
Boy, is that a fun show.
It's great.
I love that show. Another episode was on last night. Terrific, terrific show.
And
very
the lead
different.
Guy is so charming.
And this girl is a boyhood crush. She's adorable, and Chi McBride is great in it. Very quirky, interesting, weird little fascinating show.
How's it doing?
I think it's doing very well.
I think it's doing pretty well. Yeah.
Excellent.
And Life again. Life was on.
Seen
Life.
Really
boy, is that a
too.
Great show. You got to check that out.
Yeah.
He likes fruit, Kevin. I'm not sure aware of this. The guy on Life likes a lot of fruit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He's got a house with no furniture.
Okay, good.
It's crazy.
David Morse, speaking of great actors, he is, of course, in The Green Mile from Disturbia, from a House, 54 years old today. And Daryl Hall of Hall & Oates turns 58 years old today. Yeah, come on, Daryl. Bring it out. Come on. Hit it, Daryl.
You're a rich girl, and you've gone too far, but you know it don't matter anyway. You can rely on the old man's money. You can rely on the old man's money.
It's a bitch, girl.
Oh.
And you... What? Are we playing the whole song?
Nope.
That's over. Now we moved on.
That was actually too much. Already.
Bet you Jed would play it.
I know he would.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
I got to get to rehab, you guys. Everyone is doing it. All the cool kids are going to rehab. But where do you start? How do you know which rehab facility to go to? Kevin, you've been there. What do I do?
You have to go to the ones in Malibu because that's where the celebrities go.
Well, it's interesting that we'd be having this conversation because the Los Angeles Times 2 days ago had an article that is available at their website at latimes.com right now. And the writer of the piece, Paul Pringle, is on the line with us right now. The headline is The Trouble with Rehab, Malibu Style. Good morning, Paul. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
Good morning. How are you?
We're doing very well. I learned a lot from your article about rehab. I always thought of it as, you know, in general, as a place with a lot of doctors and a pretty regulated industry. But your story tells a very different story, right?
Yes, it does. These places in Malibu are not licensed to have doctors, although you wouldn't know that by looking at some of their websites.
They're not licensed to have doctors.
Well, doctors can act as counselors, but they're not licensed to provide medical services on these sites.
I thought that's what you got by going to rehab was medical attention.
Well, not necessarily. If you go to one of these places, you have detox services, you're monitored, you can have group counseling, that sort of thing.
Why wouldn't, if I'm running one of these places, why wouldn't I apply to be licensed for to have medical doctors on premises? I mean, it seems like that would be something that would be pretty easy to do.
Well, it's not as easy. I mean, that's a whole another level of regulation. It's a different department of state. It's like becoming licensed as a hospital.
So they'll monitor you, but if something goes wrong, they have to throw you in a car and take you someplace else?
Well, again, if you need medical services, you're not going to get them there. Doctors, I think, can make house calls there in certain cases.
Oh, I see.
Okay.
Tell us about the costs of the – first of all, the number of places in Malibu surprised me.
Yeah, there are at least 11 companies licensed up there, and they have well over two dozen individual places.
No
houses.
Kidding.
They buy these houses, and they convert them into rehab.
Two dozen. And wow. Now tell us about the cost, because that's crazy.
Well, the lowest cost I found was about $15,000. That place is out of business. And the highest was close to
$70,000. $70,000 for a month?
For a month, yeah. And there might be, and I'm told there's some that are even higher than that.
And according to your article, if you get kicked out or you leave partway through, your money stays.
Your money stays.
Oh, nice.
I found cases where people were kicked out in a matter of hours and their money stayed.
No kidding.
Not
wow.
Kicked, or they left voluntarily. Weren't necessarily kicked out.
And it's non-refundable. What you've written, the big check for the month, you don't get any of it back even if you leave early is what you're suggesting.
You don't get any of it back. And some people have maxed out credit cards to meet the cost up front.
Yeah.
And again, it's completely up to the discretion of the rehab place whether you get your money back.
And by the way, remember, you're talking about people who are going into rehab, people who have a serious drugs or alcohol problem who may not be in a position to make the best decisions with their money, right?
Exactly. Or you have their relatives who are quite desperate to get some help.
Sure, and they'd pay anything to get it done, but they don't realize, I guess, that if it doesn't work or they leave early or whatever, that all that money stays with them.
It stays, right.
Hey, Paul, what are some of the names of places that we would know that you're talking about in Malibu? Because it seems to me like you're talking about the ones that are in the news a lot because that's the ones the celebrities choose to go to.
Like Promises, Passages, Renaissance.
I think Promises is probably the biggest one,
yeah,
right?
It's the most
seems
famous,
like Lindsay and Brittany and all those people go there.
It's the best known. I don't know that it's the largest in terms of the number of beds it has up there.
What's the success rate like of these Malibu rehab centers?
Well, that depends. You know, they claim the success rate is quite high. In the case of Passages, the guy claims it's over 80%.
Right.
It's hard to verify that with any sort of independent data. They claim they're the best. You know, if you go on their websites, they're the best in the world, the finest in the world.
But they don't back it up with any kind of we have these doctors and here's why and here are services and that kind of stuff.
There's no way to verify that. I spoke to a number of experts,
so they can claim whatever they want.
They can claim what they want. Yeah.
Well, we're the most popular radio show in the world. I mean, let's face it. if you don't have to back it up. Yeah. This is Paul Pringle on the line from the Los Angeles Times. We're talking about his article from a couple days ago called The Trouble with Rehab Malibu Style. What about the stories that we hear, and I don't know how much of it is just gossip or how much of it is just the tabloids, but about people getting drugs sneaked into them or people having affairs, having sex with other patients. How much do they keep an eye on stuff like that in these places in Malibu, Paul?
Well, the state has cited a couple up there for doing that sort of thing, for having, I think my story pointed out that in one case there was a citation for an employee having sex with a client. Another case, drugs were, I think, and alcohol were brought onto the premises.
What was it? Wasn't it Lindsay that said she was running around naked the whole time?
I don't know about that.
I think she claimed
it was
that.
Her, yeah.
Huh. So if somebody were in a position where they needed rehab, would you – I mean, you're not categorically steering them away from any of these places, are you?
No, I'm not in a position to do anything like that.
How would you pick if you're in trouble and you don't have $68,000 for a month or whatever?
I guess I think my story points out there are some places that are recognized as leaders in the field. But
like Betty Ford?
Yeah, the people I interviewed just said you have to be careful. You have to ask a lot of questions. You can't just assume something is what it says it is based on a website or because a celebrity goes there, that kind of thing.
Okay.
I gotcha.
Well, that's good advice because I guarantee several of our listeners per day are looking for rehab. So I'm glad we had you on, Paul. And I spoke correctly when I said your piece, The Trouble with Rehab Malibu Style, still available at the LATimes.com website if they want to check it out, right?
Right.
Fantastic.
Okay, fantastic. Thanks, Paul. We appreciate the time.
Sure.
We had Paul Pringle, LA Times writer, on the phone a couple of minutes ago talking about his story, unveiling a lot of stuff that I didn't know about some of the well-known rehab centers in Malibu. Where do you go these days? How do you know? What do you look for? And we thought there's one guy who does know, and that's our pal Dr. Drew from the Loveline Show here on K-Rock 5 nights a week. Good morning, Drew.
Gentlemen, good morning.
I'm sure before you even heard the interview with Paul, you probably had already seen the article. I can't imagine that's something that hasn't been talked about a lot in your industry this week, huh?
It's true. It did catch my eye.
What do you make of some of the things he was talking about? It sound right on to you?
He's right and he's wrong. I mean, I'm sort of saddened that he threw in good programs with the bad because there are definitely a lot of nonsense out there. The reality is rehab should be medically monitored. It requires tons of professional services, and it is very hard work. If you see programs that are providing beautiful environments, all kinds of goofy services, equine therapies and rock massages and this kind of stuff, that does nothing. That does S for the treatment of drug addicts. And the fact is it's a very controversial field. There's lots of different ideas about how it should be approached. You know, whenever you see a medical condition where there's lots of relapse, lots of recidivism, you find the snake oil salesman starting to sort of sneak in.
Mm-hmm. Where do you go then?
You want to make sure that it's that's following the American Society of Addiction Medicine. You really go to the ASAM site, the American Society of Addiction Medicine. You make sure that the physicians working there are certified through that organization, that it's recognized, that they're using Hazelden model, H-A-Z-E-D-E-L-E-N. Hazelden is sort of the original model of treatment for chemical dependency. And it's hard. I mean, you really have to use word of mouth and have to be sure that the people there are board certified. And, there's no magic for this. You got to, like the reporter said, you have to ask lots of questions. And I think the other thing too is you have to realize there's differing approaches. And you, I think, as the patient, have to commit yourself to sobriety. You have to understand that the goal is to get off all drugs because right. people will put you on other drugs to treat for the drugs you're on.
It sounds like, though, the places that he was naming in Malibu and that he talks about in his article that do not have a license to have medical doctors
right.
on site,
right.
it sounds like those places, categorically, you would advise someone to stay away from.
Well, no, not categorically. I work at a hospital. We are a full-service psychiatric hospital. We are licensed through the state. Everyone in our facility has to be licensed. It's medical monitoring. It's the most intensive level of services available. Not everybody needs that. Some people who don't need medical detox, who are psychiatrically stable, can go to what's called a residential facility. That's what these are. These are all residential. I run a residential facility, too. I don't walk into the residential facility because once I send the patients out there, they should be stable enough to just do the basic structure of 12-step treatment. When they're with me, we're having psychiatrists, psychologists, chemical dependency counselors, myself, nurses on them 24/7 until they get stable enough where they can go out to the residential level of care.
I would believe you more, Dr. Drew, if you were doing better work with Andy Dick. What's that deal with you guys going out at night to clubbing and stuff on TMZ.com?
I'm so glad you brought that up. One of my proudest moments. Just so I can clarify what happened. And by the way, let me just say that before I forget, that Promises is an excellent program. It's a shame that they got painted with the same brush that all the other ones did out there.
Is that right? Promises is...
Promises is really quite good. And it has its weaknesses like every program. And, you know, as much as anything, you're dependent on the talent of the staff that works there, which can wax and wane with time.
Yeah.
But for the most part, Promises is a really quality program. And when people need medical services, psychiatric services, they make sure they get them.
They do, okay.
So back to Andy Dick. Speaking of needing psychiatric services, we were at a – you know, I've got a new program coming out of VH1 in January.
You're going to be on television, Dr. Drew?
We actually filmed a treatment process. I treated a bunch of celebrities, and we filmed the process. And
right.
It was very intense. And anyway, so I went to a VH1 party where they said, "Come, please meet the meet the executives and things." And I thought, "Oh, okay, I've got to be there." They had cameras wandering around. I had no idea they were TMZ cameras. Anyway, Andy Dick walks in, sees me. He's wasted. He falls on the floor. "Oh my God, you caught me! You caught me!" I go, "Okay, Andy. Yes, I know you do drugs. Big deal." And I go, "When you're ready, you call me." He stood up. Cameras turn on us, and then he goes into this spiel about how I'm his doctor and look how good a job I'm doing. It was wonderful.
So you were sandbagged, basically.
Oh my God! And God only knows what TMZ did with it.
Doctor Drew is on the line. We're talking about rehab here in Southern California, which is where all the cool kids are going these days. There's one other point in the article I wanted to ask you about, Doctor Drew, and of course I value your opinion most of all of anyone in the world. How important is a program that uses the 12 steps of AA, including accepting the higher power and all that? Because there's some places who are adamantly against that. Some people think that's essential to recovery.
Yeah, I've not seen anything else work in a sustained way. I mean, there's no doubt that cognitive behavioral therapies, meaning changing your thinking, work. There's no doubt that interpersonal, the capacity to tolerate interpersonal relations is a key part of treatment. 12-step is really just a model for guiding people through that. The fact is, when people, here's the thing about 12-step, when people actually throw themselves into it, it essentially always works. And we don't have anything else like that. And because it's hard to get people to do it, people are always looking for alternative ways to get people sober. I've just not seen anything else work in a sustained way. If there was anything else that really, really worked, we'd be using it. That's the thing about the craziness about some of those places at Malibu that claim 100% success. My thing is, that's fantastic. Tell us what you're doing.
Yeah.
We all want to do it.
Yeah.
Publish the data. Well, we can't possibly do that. No, they're not doing crap. That's the problem.
Yeah.
And it is an extremely difficult, difficult disease that affects their interpersonal lives, their brain functioning, their body. They're medically ill very
right.
often. Their spiritual functioning, their employment functioning. There will never be just a magic pill that treats addiction. It's
sure.
a long process of literally rewiring the brain.
Now, I know you have to go soon. What about the cost? That was a big part in his article.
It's pretty outlandish. The big thing that I think that was funny, I'd just been talking about this about 3 days prior to that with some of my counselors, this thing about people paying and then not getting their money back. That's
right.
just not right. And so if you notice, again, promises really doesn't do that. They hold your money for you till you come back. And, okay, whatever. But so to give it, not refund the money, not prorate it, that's just not right. I can tell
yeah.
you that my program, I run a very intensive residential program. We can treat somebody for 2 weeks for $7,500.
Well, that's better than $35,000.
Right.
One final question.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think Bean has Asperger's?
Well, there's no doubt in my mind.
Thank you.
Okay.
He took a quiz, well, Dr. Drew, where he got 41 out of 50, and 34 was considered extreme, and he still says, "Don't have it. I just don't have it."
It's not a bad thing.
I know, that's what I tried to tell him.
Asperger. It's a very unique thing. It's a wonderful thing.
I'm not saying it's bad. I just don't have it. Look, Dr. Drew is wrong about one thing in the world, and this is it. He's
okay.
just right about everything else.
Everybody, just look up Asperger in the dictionary. You just see Bean's picture yeah. sitting there. What do I say?
Hey, Drew, you threw out a lot of names and websites and the Hazelnut model and board certified and all that stuff. Can we get that information from you and put it on our website?
Sure.
Okay, cool.
Of course.
Thank you, Drew.
Okay.
Right,
thanks, Drew. Appreciate talking to you.
Bye now.
Put down the s'mores, by the way, Kevin. We're on the air now.
Dude, there's nothing better than a real s'more.
And it's not too early for s'mores.
No
You're fine
way.
With it at 7:45? All right.
Perfect.
Ralph did the story a couple days ago in his Showbiz Beat, but it bears revisiting because it's Blender Magazine's worst lyricists in rock history. And I know the first names that come to mind, and yeah, they're all on the list. You can bet that Billy Corgan made the list. You can bet that Fred Durst is on the list.
Sure.
Scott Stapp from Creed, he's number three. Sting, number one, by the way, as the worst lyricist of all time. I don't know how you could say that when a guy's written a song called da-do-do-do-da-da-da. I don't know how you could then turn around and say his lyrics are bad.
Yeah, that is a ridiculously stupid song.
But number 40 on the list, and I think K-Rock listeners will agree, way too low on the list, is Anthony Kiedis for the Red Hot Chili Peppers. And he joins us here this morning on the Kevin DeBeat Show on K-Rock. Haven't talked to Anthony in a while. Good morning. How are you?
Hello. Sherpas, Coca-Cola, Mars, Lunar Eclipse, Solstice.
Hey, Anthony?
The birds fly. Good morning.
Hello.
Well, good morning to you.
Hello.
So, Blender Magazine, worst lyricist of all time, you are number 40.
Wacky ducky.
I'm sorry?
What?
Chicken nugget house stepping on the woodpecker. Forest Becker from Germany, not Oslo.
I think I speak Anthony when I say, what does a guy have to do to get higher on that list?
Yeah, no kidding.
Seriously.
That's right. Says a birthday Della Hattie on the flim flam, Coca-Cola Motorola with an eight ball, California.
Okay, we're actually trying to have a conversation with you, Anthony. If you could just focus and maybe we could actually, we'll ask a question, you could answer it.
Loop-de-loop chicken soup on the pitchfork. Diggy-dang-da-dang-da-dang-dong-dong.
All right. Here's the lyric that's mentioned in the write-up on you, Anthony Kiedis. They say this is one of your worst lyrics, and it's from one of your best-known songs, Californication. Now, tell me if they got this right. Psychic spies from China try to steal your mind's elation. Little girls from Sweden dream of silver screen quotations. And if you want these kind of dreams, it's Californication. What does that all mean, Anthony?
Ding-dang-dong-dong-da-dang. Ba-dang.
That's what it means?
But run the police up your face with my baloney.
Right, but what are you trying to say? When people hear Californication on the radio, they hear those lyrics. What are you trying to get them to think?
Ooh, wicked-dicked-dang-da-dong-da-hoo-hoo-ah.
Okay.
Bow.
Is it true that you just had a kid, by the way?
Yes.
Oh, you did?
Okay.
And what did you name the little guy?
Green tea soul flower.
Green tea soul flower.
I think it's a daughter, I thought. Excuse me, a son, and you named him Everly, I think is his first name, Everly.
California dog show. Smack a deck.
By the way, Anthony Kiedis. Say what you will. The mother of the child is a model named Heather, who's 22 years old.
22?
Yes. 22, good for you, ooh. Ding-dong the bank.
Okay.
Make a dang dude. Whack it down.
I guess congratulations on both, then.
Ding-dong.
Okay. Yeah. Tomorrow morning at this time, we have Ozzy and Sharon Osbourne in the studio.
Wow. Oh.
Sharon!
How about that?
Oh, this is Kevin and Bean show. Why am I doing it? I hate them.
You don't hate us, Ozzy.
They're auctioning.
I hate them so much. They make fun of me.
You hate lightning.
Right. They're auctioning off stuff out of all their houses. They're downsizing. You can buy stuff from Ozzy's home.
400,000 empty prescription pill bottles.
Maybe that'll be one of the
quarter things. Apiece.
That and they're doing a show at Staples Center with Rob Zombie, so we'll talk to him about that as well.
Yeah. Also, Sean Astin, who killed all those meerkats. We got him on the show tomorrow. And Eva Mendez, ladies and gentlemen, from We Own the Night. Eva Mendez on the Kevin Show tomorrow.
Saw her on Letterman last night.
Yeah.
Eva Mendez.
How'd she look?
Yeah.
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 What the hell is going on here?
Are you creeped out yet,
Lisa? Man noises. Lisa, you wouldn't understand.
Almighty.
I don't understand, Mike. Sounds like some kind of monkey.
With Tourette's.
I don't know what's going on there.
7:56. Time for the showbiz beat. Here's Ralph.
That's not how most guys express pleasure. But.
Oh, imagine his poor wife if that is the way he expresses it. Oh, baby, I love you so much. Oh, yeah.
Oh, it's common knowledge the guy's retarded.
Speaking of expressing pleasure, Zac Efron.
Oh, stop it.
What's going on with my sweet Zac?
Lead, of course, of High School Musical.
Yes.
Tells UK's Bliss magazine what he looks for in a relationship.
Is it Bean?
It doesn't say that here.
That's top-notch gay.
Zach so cool. says, I look for trust, communication, compassion, passion, and romance. They're all crucial. I look for someone who's happy, caring, and sweet. He adds, it's especially perfect if he's really carrying a big package in his pants.
Did he add that?
Zach said that?
Oh, no. He says, I like to believe in love at first sight.
Oh. So basically, he wants everything.
In
That's
a men,
what he wants.
In the men's room, he added, as I tap my foot under the stall.
Who wants some man meat?
I do. I want some man meat.
Zac Efron wants some.
But what about Zanessa? Does he talk about that?
Will you stop? You're really creeping us all out.
No, I'm saying he's talking about what he's looking for in a relationship. Doesn't he have a heavy-duty girlfriend with Vanessa Ann Hudgens, though, already?
All right. That's creepy.
Maybe he's describing Vanessa.
Okay.
Said he looks for a compassionate woman who will take a picture of herself with a four-day growth around her coochie.
That's exactly what he's looking for?
With a cell phone camera, yeah.
Oh, excellent. He scored then.
Nicole Richie's ready to marry Joel Madden, according to Star Magazine.
Heard this before.
Apparently, she wants to get married immediately instead of waiting because she found out that Joel was texting his ex-girlfriend Hillary Duff.
Uh-oh.
Ladies, let that be a lesson to you. If you think your man may be cheating on you,
try to marry him as quickly as possible.
Yes, that'll work.
That'll put a stop to that.
And have a baby with him.
Yes, have babies and get married. That'll snip that right in the bud.
Now, we had heard that they were going to get married before she even went in to do her 4 days in prison. Remember, they were going to do it then, and then that fell apart. But now you're saying it may be back on.
Now that he's texting with Hillary Duff, now she's ready to get married.
That's a good choice.
By the way, In Touch magazine says that Joel has to put a stop to Nicole's baby spending. Apparently, when they were shopping for items for their pending little one, Joel wanted a $300 version of a crib from Target.
Mm-hmm.
Nicole, rather, wanted a custom-made crib that cost $65,000.
She knows he's just from Good Charlotte, right?
Yeah, I guess so.
Come on.
$65,000 crib.
Clearly, you have been damaged somehow, some way along the way psychologically.
For that kind of money, that crib better change the baby, burp it,
raise it.
Raise it till it's 18.
But isn't Lionel Richie worth hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars?
He is indeed, Psycho Mike. I don't care how much money you have, $65,000 for a crib?
No, I'm
stupid.
Just ridiculous.
But if she writes the check, right?
Just throw the money, just throw it out the window.
With the baby and the bathwater.
What makes the crib so expensive? Is it jewel encrusted or something?
I don't have the full breakdown on the crib here in my story, Bean, but thank you for asking.
I thought you might know. I didn't write me some deep back
out of the catalog.
What's the thread count of the sheets?
Over expensivebabygoods.com. I don't have their catalog here with me, but thank you for the speed bump.
Is it on spinners?
We all appreciate it. Bean has an insatiable thirst for knowledge.
He
needs to know everything about everything.
But only the minutiae that's not important.
Yes.
That's what he's really obsessed with.
What kind of coasters are in the bottom of that crib?
You guys aren't interested.
What's a hardwood floor?
You guys aren't interested as to why it would cost so much?
No, like, that just goes in the category of stupid. That's all?
Well, yeah, but maybe it's diamond-lined. I'm just trying to figure out what could possibly cost so much.
The crib is lined with diamonds because, you know, babies get a good night's sleep on a bed of diamonds.
That's what I'm wondering about.
Yeah, I don't care, really.
So exhausting.
Is there wood in it, Ralph? Wood?
Jim Carrey's given Jenny McCarthy a ring. But don't expect them to get married anytime soon. The two have said that they have no plans on getting married. Jim, however, did give her a 3-banded diamond and platinum commitment ring.
Oh, yeah.
Commitment ring meaning I'm going to eventually possibly ask you to marry me.
No.
No.
Just I'll probably stick around.
Okay.
At least up until the point I decide to leave you.
Okay.
That's basically what that ring stands for.
Remember that lightning interview with Jim Carrey?
Right. Yeah.
I sure do.
What magic that was. Do you mind if I play that?
No.
If I interrupt you?
How are you doing, Jim? Lightning through. Man, I was skinny and like this. I know. I've gained 30 pounds and now it's disgusting.
Yeah.
How about giving him the mic for a second?
No, more about how I looked last time you saw me.
Oh, can't even hear Jim Carrey. He's allegedly standing right in front of lightning.
good use of his Mr. Carrey's time, certainly.
Jim says that the 3-banded diamond and platinum ring symbolizes one ring for Jim, the other ring for Jenny, and the third for Jenny's son, Evan. Two of the rings are very shiny. The other one's a bit dim.
Oh. What? I'm describing the ring.
Oh,
I thought you wanted to know what the ring looked like because
no
Bean ought to know what the crib
Nobody
looked
asked.
Like.
Did
I
someone
assumed.
Ask?
I'm trying to fill in all the blanks.
Oh, my God.
That's all I'm doing.
Oh. What? You people get what you're moaning about.
You're bad.
Michelle Rodriguez going to jail.
Good.
Former Lost star has to do 180 days after violating her probation for her multiple DUI busts. The straw that broke the camel's back for the judge yesterday was pretty much the fact she was wearing an alcohol monitor anklet.
Right.
It caught her drinking 3 times. Bells and whistles went off 3 times while she was wearing it. They asked her to stop drinking for 90 days as part of her probation.
Right.
Couldn't manage it.
Couldn't do that.
She may have bigger issues than 180 days in jail. Here's the problem, though. The judge said she's been given so many opportunities with work furlough programs and with community service that none of that is available to her now. She cannot be home incarcerated. She cannot do a work furlough. She cannot do community service. She has to do 180 days. So that's bad, right?
This is exactly what we heard about Paris Hilton. And then the sheriff turned around and sent her home after a day, right?
So you never know what's going to happen.
Called her back, the whole thing.
Charlize Theron has been named Esquire magazine's sexiest woman alive for 2007.
Boobs.
Man.
Good choice.
That's so hot.
She's the best. I miss her. Lightning, get her on the show.
Yeah.
You're saying that like Lightning's listening.
I know. What was
Come
I
on.
Thinking? I know.
Apparently, she's right,
somebody call Big Boy and tell Big Boy to announce on their show that we want Charlie's third on ours, and then Lightning will hear it.
What?
No.
Oh, Lightning heard me.
How about that? What a surprise.
Yeah. Maybe someone drew him a picture of a radio in the other room with their fingers and indicated that he should be listening to it. There's a new pictorial that goes along with that article. You should pick it up. It's Esquire magazine this week on stands, and it's spectacular, and she's the best. She's just the best.
What is she wearing in the pictorial?
Various clothes.
Okay.
That's good. Yeah. Today's celebrity birthdays. Emily Deschanel. She is on Bones, the lead actress on that show. Very entertaining. She's 31 years old today. Michelle Trachtenberg. Buffy. Dawn, rather, on Buffy. She's 22 years old today. Jane Krakowski. Very funny over there on 30 Rock. The show with Tina Fey.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Mm-hmm. And The Scar. 39 years old today. Mike Nelson from Mystery Science Theater 3000. One of my favorite TV shows. Very, very funny. He's 43 years old today. David Morse. Super talented actor. Most recently seen in Disturbia with Shia LaBeouf. He is 54 years old today. And Daryl Hall and John Oates. Hall and Oates.
It's both of them.
Daryl Hall celebrates his birthday today. 58 years old today. Oh, Daryl. Oh, Daryl. Oh, Daryl.
I don't have to play that, do I?
Just give me a little. Just give me a little Hall.
Yeah.
Oh, come on.
You said a little.
You're such a... And you're going too far. Because you know it don't matter anyway. You can rely on the old man's money. You can rely on the old man's money. It's a bitch, girl, but you're gone
too
far.
That's all I got. Sorry.
I have to go out in the car and listen to that. Luckily, it's in my CD player. I'm Rob Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Oh. Found this on Yahoo yesterday, by the way. A new survey from a company called Hot Jobs. Hot Jobs. Employment surveys is what they do. 44% of respondents, Kevin, have caught coworkers getting amorous while on the job.
44%?
44%.
Wow.
Excellent. That's a high rate. Good work,
very
people.
High.
The following program contains adult language and subject matter. Viewer discretion advised.
And this is what we're talking about. Catching your coworkers on the job doing stuff that they're not supposed to be doing, stuff that you can't believe you're seeing them doing. We got a great call a couple of days ago on Kevin Amin's What to Do Nephew that kind of made us think that it's been a while since we've had you rat out your coworkers on K-Rock.
Due to some graphic and mature content, parental discretion is advised.
I used to work as a cashier in Costco. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, we have to put all the spoiled product away that was left in the aisles by the customers.
Right.
While I proceed into the cooler, I see one of my coworkers with his pants down trying to wreck a rotisserie, Foster's Farm rotisserie chicken.
Yes. Come on. What the hell is that guy thinking?
I gotta have it.
This program contains sexually explicit dialogue. Viewer discretion is advised.
So we're going to take calls of things you caught your coworkers doing. Obviously, if 44% say they caught someone having sex, that's one of the things you can catch your coworkers doing. I mean, it depends on where you are. If you're in Costco, whatever's available. Maybe it's a Foster's Farm chicken.
Look, Psycho Mike is the king of horny, and he's done it with every inanimate object there is. But has a chicken ever looked good to you, Mike?
No. No. A chicken.
Okay.
But a wall. But
a
not
wall,
at,
yeah.
A couch.
But not at work.
Put a little peanut butter in there.
Yeah, the happy sock. That's something else. But we're talking about stuff that you find them doing, and I bet there's a lot of people who've been busted. You know, on Mad Men. I don't know if you're watching Mad Men, but there have been a couple of times where people have been either in before the rest of the office shows up or after the rest of the office has gone home, and they're doing it in the office, and the cleaning people come by and catch them and stuff like that. It's got to happen all the time, I would imagine.
The following program contains adult language and subject matter. Viewer discretion advised.
All right, we got it.
People stealing stuff, I guess you could see. People doing other illegal stuff, I guess you could see. And I guess depending on the situation is where you are on the food chain at work and where they are at the food chain, I guess, determines what you do next.
Yeah, I mean, it does make – if you're going to tell anyone, you mean, right?
Right.
Or just let it go or ask for your own weed, you know, whatever. Whatever happens to be going on at work, that's what you do. Let's go to Cecilia. I don't know how to say this name.
I think it's Celia.
Celia in Hawthorne. Good morning.
Good morning. My old Chinese coworker picked his nose with his pinky, and then he rubbed it on his collar and on his shirt. My boss tried to send him an email to remind him to stop picking his nose, and I heard them talking about it without the details, and my the guy was like, oh, ho, ho, ho. I remember, you know.
Oh, my.
Sorry.
God.
And he forwarded the email to me, and I was like, this is not cool. And it's disgusting.
Yeah. Now, was he making any attempt to do this secretly?
I think it's like a nervous tick, because after he got the email, he tries to do it again, but he remembers, and he puts his hand away and just like rubs his chin or rubs his face.
Like fakes it.
Touches the back.
Oh, no, I was just going to touch my ear.
Yeah.
Oh, dude. Wow. Yeah. Nobody That's wants terrible. To see that. Thank you for the call, Shay. We appreciate it. 1-800-520-1067. Let's go to line one, also in Hawthorne. This is going to be Mike on the Kevin Amin Show. Mike, what did you catch your coworker doing?
Santa Monica!
Yeah!
There's our boy.
It's been a while. It's been too long.
Karina is in Rosemead. Karina was in Rosemead. We just lost her.
Oh,
had a 65-year-old coworker caught getting high before work.
Yeah, we're going to need her to call back.
Nice.
And we'll absolutely. I want to hear that story.
And we'll take the rest of the calls. 1-800-520-1067 when we get back.
I'm so excited about some of these calls.
Me too.
And some of these calls, I don't know how I'm going to stop it. We're talking about things you caught your coworker doing. 1-800-520-1067. Where do you even want to begin? We're running the gamut here.
Let's start with Irene in North Hollywood. Good morning, Irene.
Good morning, Kevin Zane with Samay.
Hi, Irene.
We always say you do not want to make your food servers angry at you.
Well, he wasn't angry. I just think he was just being an, I don't know.
Twisted?
He was just doing it to be, yeah. Yeah, exactly.
All right, what'd it was
gross. I was standing. I was like 17. I used to work at Burger King, mm-hmm. and I turned around because I was going to give him the order, and he was licking the patty as if he was going. You know,
he was licking the hamburger patty as if it were a girl.
Yeah.
Oh, he was doing this to freak you out.
And then did he put the hamburger on somebody's sandwich that you then sold?
Yeah.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Oh, that's sweet right there.
God.
That's what you want when you go through a drive-thru, is somebody who's licked your burger. Thank you.
Oh, and not a euphemism at all, by the way. He really did lick your burger.
Yeah. Let's go to Michelle and Chino and get this over with. Good morning, Michelle.
Hi, good morning.
Hi, we're talking about things you caught your coworkers doing.
Yes. There's a coworker sits in front of me, and I've seen him numerous times. He'll just pick his ears and he'll smell it. And that grossed me out. And then one day, I couldn't believe it, he grabbed out a paperclip, opened his paperclip up, and looked around to see if we were looking. He put it in his ear and he licked.
He what?
He put the paperclip in his ear, like, to clean his ear out, and then he licked it clean.
Oh, God. So he's eating his own earwax?
I can't.
Come on.
I couldn't believe what I seen. I almost threw up. I had to leave.
Why would someone do that at work? Why would someone do that anywhere?
Anywhere, at any time.
Anywhere.
But especially at work.
He was looking around. Yeah, he was looking around to see if we were looking, and I kind of just, I didn't want him to know I was looking, but
Michelle,
I didn't want to look.
Next time, yell, don't eat your earwax. Loud as you can.
Yeah. Throw a book at him.
Thank you for the call. Wow.
By the way, wasn't it last week we did things you wish you'd never seen? It's turning into that all over again.
Yeah.
Let's talk to Doug in Montebello. He's on line 7. This one fails on every level. Doug, good morning. Welcome to the Kevin Amin Show on K-Rock. Now, how did we just lose Doug? What'd you do, Kevin? What are you doing with your phone over there?
I did nothing. He just left. His dad was the boss, he said, and he walked in on him having sex.
Oh.
Doesn't say with who. He was gone before we had a chance to ask. Let's try Becky, who's calling from Long Beach. Good morning, Becky.
Good morning.
You're a policewoman.
Sort of?
Sort of.
Oh. Something's going on with our phone.
She went away now. I don't know. I'm not touching anything.
No, impressive thing.
I think there's something with the phones.
So we got trouble.
Oh, that's too bad because she walked in on a dude masturbating.
All right, let's try Dave in Lake Forest then. Maybe we'll have better luck here. 1-800-520-1067. Dave, you found your coworker doing what?
Well, he changes into 80s workout spandex at lunch and does laps around the parking lot to exercise.
Yeah.
But he's so old and pretty fat.
Yeah.
So you can see the nipple rings, the Prince Albert, and the chain that connects it all.
Oh,
no.
Why is that guy wearing spandex?
We've tried to figure that out for about the last 3 years.
Wow.
That's funny.
That is strong.
Dave, thank you for the call, and thank you for staying on the line. Let's try Angie in Boyle Heights, 1-800-520-1067. Hi, Angie. You're on the Kevin Beach on K-Rock.
Hey, what's up, guys? How are you guys doing today?
Well, we're good. We're talking about things you caught your coworkers doing, and some of them are rather troubling.
Yeah, I kind of used to work at Target.
Kind of used to?
So you kind of used to, or you did?
Well, I don't work there anymore, but I used to work at Target.
Okay.
Okay.
And I kind of walked in on my manager masturbating in his office.
Did he see you?
Yes.
Please.
Were you the Target?
Yeah,
no, I wasn't.
He was the boss who said, I had an employee walk in on me masturbating today, finally. He was waiting for you all day.
Hey, what did he do when he realized that he was being seen?
He gave me that frozen deer look, you know, when the deer's about to get hit by a car.
Right.
Like, shocked and stunned.
Right. And did he stop, or did you turn and run? What happened?
I just, like, stopped, and I just walked out of the office with my head down, just shaking my head, and I just...
And you never spoke of it again, right? It was one of those things where you just never talked to him about it, right?
Like, a couple of days afterwards, he asked me, like, he goes, did you see, you know, my incident? I was like, honestly, no, I didn't really see what you were doing, but I was just lying about it, you know, because
you just were uncomfortable.
Right, exactly.
Wow. Right.
Thank you very much for the call. All right, we have the worst call of all, and then the best call of all. So why don't we take those before we bid adieu here?
Well, which one is which?
Come on. Line two is the worst call ever.
Yeah. All right. Let's see. Jared in Bellflower. Good morning.
Hi. I used to work at UPS.
Yeah.
And some guy was going to get fired, and he got wind of it from someone else, one of his friends. And I walked into one of the packaging rooms, and I caught him defecating in one of the packages and retaping it.
Oh,
send it
no.
out.
Yes. Oh, my God.
See what Brown can do for you.
Oh.
Right
now.
Hey, wow.
Jared,
that is
let's
bad.
Go to Mike, because it's been so unpleasant for so long. Why don't we end it on a positive note? That's what I'm saying, is we can save this bit with Mike's call.
All right. Mike, good morning.
Good morning, guys. How are you guys doing today?
We are good.
I used to work at a movie theater, and usually we do theater checks, and I just happened to walk in on two of my coworkers going at it, and there were two girls.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, that's fantastic.
Yay!
That's the way to cleanse the palate right there.
Oh, but I gotta bring it down a little bit.
No, don't bring it down.
No, please, don't spoil it. One of them was pooing into a box. We don't want to hear about that, all right?
And then, can I say one more thing?
Yeah.
I got caught doing it during Shrek when I was doing, you know, while working.
Nice.
Well, what are you supposed to do during Shrek, for God's sakes? But the two girls, let's end on the two girls making out. Come on now.
Hey,
this has been a rough segment.
During Shrek, isn't that good enough, too?
Yeah, but one of them is you, and the other one is two girls.
Come
what is
on,
wrong
Mike,
with people?
Don't you ever listen to this show?
What
about that Kevin Amin Afro line? People still calling that thing?
Oh, yeah. Leaving messages 24 hours a day, 323-520-AFRO. Any topic is fine, including, you know, song requests.
You know, I never thought I'd say this, but instead of Kid Rock, could you please play another Chili Pepper song?
Wow.
That's rough.
We didn't play that country-leaning Kid Rock song, and not 100% of our audience was on board.
Yeah.
That's kind of where he's at right now.
Yeah.
That's the kind of music Kid Rock seems to like to make.
Hey, I kid you not, Omar's DJ name while he was in college was DJ O-Ring. Ask him.
DJ O-Ring?
Yeah, I don't doubt it. After hearing about his day at Gay Day at Disneyland the other day, nothing surprises me about Omar and the O-Ring.
We didn't realize what a talented rapper Lisa Mae was.
Brothers and sisters, men and trees, I got really crappy taste when it comes to TV. I like Brothers and Sisters, not dazed and confused. With taste like this, I must be abused.
Lisa, two questions. When does the album drop, and when are you going on tour?
Wow.
Both
it's
good
all
questions.
In the works, let me tell you.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Psycho Mike's writing me more raps right now.
I would like to give you some tips, though, as far as making sure we know what you're talking about on the Afro line. You have to be more specific than this.
That was the worst skit ever.
Because really.
Yeah, that could mean anything.
I mean, that could be 15 things in our minds that come right to my mind immediately.
Yeah.
You got to be more specific, please.
Am I high, or did I just see Psycho and Beer Mug on a video rap of the K-Fed boys on TMZ TV?
Mm-hmm.
Wait, yeah, I'm high.
No, that was actually them.
That really happened.
The song is Dem K-Fed Boys. You can see that at krock.com on the videos page if you would like to. They're wearing, well, diapers. I have to be honest.
That guy was.
Please!
Yeah.
Please! Please don't have Chris Angel on your show! Please don't have him! He's a douchebag.
All right, so here's the update. 10 times in a row we were pitched, you guys have got to have Criss Angel on. Criss Angel really wants to do your show. Please have Criss Angel on. Come on. So we had a discussion, and we invited the K-Rock listeners to call in and decide whether we should have him on, because he is a douchebag, but there are people who like him, and he does pretty good magic, but he's a douchebag. So what do we do? Do we have him on? Do we not have him on? So the listeners convinced us that we would go ahead and invite the dude to come in, right?
But with our own rules, which are you can't do magic,
right,
and you have to come in.
Right.
To which he said...
Can't make it.
Can't make that.
Sorry, unavailable. Unavailable. Unavailable.
Really? You
Criss Angel, not available for the Kevin Beach Show.
Got pitched 700 times, now not available. F you.
You know it's hard out here for a pimp.
For a pimp.
When you try to get the money for the rent.
For the rent.
For the Cadillac and gas on the spin.
Money spent.
To be a whole lot of...
What the fuck is jumping shit?
Yeah.
I
Timely.
Can't imagine why. Yeah.
I'd say just weed. Really, weed is the answer for most calls we don't understand.
Right.
Hello, this is Tom from Angels and Airwaves. This message is for Psycho Mike. Why are you making fun of me tonight? Quit it, because it sucks.
That's not Psycho Mike. It's me, Tom DeLonge, sprinkling angel dust on all the fairies in the nebulous land of the mysterious world tonight.
Thank you, Tom. Appreciate that.
Bean, do you have the song ready after I play this this Afro call?
Because of course.
We ruined a girl's day, and I'd like to ruin it again if that's possible.
God damn it, guys. First you say chocolate rain will get stuck in your head, and then you play it.
Yeah.
It's going to be stuck in my head all day long.
Yeah.
When I go to sleep, I'm going to hear chocolate rain. When I wake up tomorrow morning, I'm going to hear chocolate rain.
Yeah.
You ruined my birthday.
You're welcome.
Really? Because this one's for you. Happy birthday from the Kevin DeBeach Show.
Chocolate rain. Some stay dry and others feel the pain. Chocolate rain. A baby born will die before the sin. Chocolate rain.
Sorry to have to do that to you people, because that will be stuck in your head all day long. And you won't know any of the words, but you'll keep singing chocolate rain. There's something known as a text to landline, where you can text and then have a computerized woman's voice read your message.
Do a text to landline message. Penis so gay.
Okay, thank you for that one.
Aww.
And then another one.
Do a text to landline message. Santa Monica.
Quite the same, is it? Right now, Ralph's got the showbiz beat for Thursday morning.
A stalker has been captured. For a change, it's not Bean.
Wow, good.
The alleged stalker of actress Uma Thurman has been caught, according to the New York Post. He is a 35-year-old California resident named Jack Jordan. Wait a minute, did he do that Bubbly Toe song?
No, that's Johnson. Whole different guy.
Oh. He's accused of terrorizing Uma for 2 years.
Oh, my God.
Apparently, Jack believes the two of them are fated to be together.
Uh-huh.
Bean and Zach.
Hey, one day he'll know, man. One day he'll realize I'm right.
In one instance, Jordan allegedly left a note at Uma Thurman's Manhattan apartment, which read, I feel afraid that if I see you out with another man, I will want to kill myself.
Wow.
He is said to have been living in a car around the block from her house since August.
Oh, my God.
Dude. Why did it take so long to pick him up then?
I had no idea. They knew his whereabouts. But every time they went to his house to pick him up, he had moved it.
Yeah.
Yeah, he went to another parking spot. He's also allegedly approached her apartment 3 or 4 times a week trying to see her.
Did he ever leave a candy bar on her doorstep?
That was the closer. That was the thing that finally pushed her over the edge. She could not take the candy bar. The nutty buddy left at the front door.
That's
I applaud his commitment to stick with it for as many months as he did, because a lot of people, and I'll confess, I'm a terrible stalker because I don't really leave my house.
Yeah.
But I lose interest in one and then move on to stalking somebody else from afar and then lose interest in that person.
I
so
know.
this guy can he can teach me a few things.
Imagine how crushed Janelle Maloney must feel these days.
Oh. I do still love her. But.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. You're talking about her constantly. Oh, wait a minute. You haven't mentioned her in 4 years.
But at least you have her website. At
Rachel Nichols kind of made me forget Janelle Maloney, to be honest.
So did you give up JanelleMaloney.com?
Well, no. I still have big plans for it. I just haven't gotten to it yet. Right now, all I can think about is my sweet Zach. It's hard for me to concentrate on the girls. I'm just saying.
2 years ago, Jordan's obsession with Uma Thurman became so disturbing to his family that they had him committed to a mental hospital.
Wow.
He was released about 6 months later.
That's rough.
Yeah. You know what they should do? They should show him my super ex-girlfriend.
Yes.
And that'll just put him right off Uma Thurman forever, trust me. He'll go, what a piece of crap! How could I ever have stalked her?
I don't think
and
he's...
then he'll just get past it. Yeah. Because it's awful. Point I'm trying to
make. Not a good movie.
I don't think
his love for her is based on her box office. I think he thinks she's probably pretty or something.
Yeah.
And who understands him more than me?
Exactly. Well, today's the day that Britney Spears is supposed to be in court to demand at least overnight visits with her children in terms of this custody battle that's going on with her and K-Fed.
Is she in a position to demand anything?
No. She's going to ask politely. No. She has passed all her drug tests, which is good news for her.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
However, K-Fed's attorney says she's 25 years old and the order is a week old.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Saying that maybe 1 week of sobriety does not a responsible parent make.
Sure.
Now, funny thing is, TMZ.com has this story, and they say as the time the story was being published, they were sending the story from the courthouse steps. Britney had 35 minutes to appear at that point.
Right.
Okay.
She was living in Marina Del Rey. She'll have to drive across town in rush hour traffic. They're guessing she's likely not to make it to the hearing today.
So that's a responsible parent.
Yes.
Yeah.
She's making it easy on the court.
So apparently, KFA's lawyer says he will fight her request for overnight visits. As it stands right now, she gets them delivered to her house in the morning, and then later in the evening, they pick the kids up and take them back to KFA's. So. Hmm. Charlize Theron has won the title of Esquire magazine's Sexiest Woman Alive for 2007.
That's so hot.
Along with a very sexy pictorial, Charlize reveals in the November issue of Esquire, that not all of her movies have been great. She admits Reindeer Games was a particularly bad, bad movie, she says. Well, you know, you got Ben Affleck.
Sure.
What are you going to do? You're working at a disadvantage right there. Don't set yourself up for failure, Charlize. That's what we're saying. Don't be hard on yourself. You're working with Keanu Reeves and Ben Affleck a lot. Come on.
Yeah, that's true.
Although
that should make her look so much better, though.
It does. It always does. But I think the movie as a whole suffers therein.
Certainly.
Sure.
Brett, Ralph, are you prepared for the resurrection of Ben Affleck, if all the press can be believed on his new film that he's directed?
The resurrection?
Which
resurrection?
Film?
Daddy Gone, I think it's called.
Gone, Baby Gone.
Gone,
Baby Gone, yeah.
Yeah, people are saying it's very, very good. And I think he wrote it and directed it, if I'm not mistaken.
He did. It's based on a book written by the same author who wrote Mystic River.
Is he starring in it?
He is not. His brother Casey Affleck is the star of the film.
Good enough.
Works for me, too. Yeah. I hope he's a terrific director. He's the best effing director in the world. So he never feels the urge to get out from behind that camera.
Yeah.
Once again. PerezHilton.com says that Mark Anthony's ex-wife, former Miss Universe Dayanara Torres, confirmed to a Spanish-speaking media outlet that Jennifer Lopez is with child. I don't know if you want your husband's ex-wife talking about your pregnancy or not, but I can't imagine Ms. Lopez is too thrilled.
I'm guessing not.
No. It's funny, Perez Hilton, they carry so many news stories on that website.
Yeah.
You know, he's always got the...
Just trying to get us off by 10.
Nicely done.
Typical Bean. Rushes right to the climax. Forget all the foreplay. Forgets the best part of the act. Just wants to get it over with so he can get back to watching television and reading the internet.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. You want to get it done by 10? Okay. Today's celebrity birthdays, Jane Krakowski from Ally McBeal.
We're not that short on time.
Ryan,
we just didn't have time for 10 minutes of that setup.
David Morris, most recently seen in Disturbia, is 54 years old today. Emily Deschanel, who's on Bones, she's 31. U-God from Wu-Tang Clan is 37 years old today.
U-God.
My co-star from the ABC After School Special, A Class Act, Ron Liebman, celebrates his birthday today. You probably know him better as the dad of Rachel Green, Jennifer Aniston's character on Friends. He's 70 years old today.
You keep in touch with your co-star from that movie?
Oh, constantly. We're always hanging out. Me, Ron.
Which one was he?
Pat Cooper.
Which one was he in the big scene? The big Academy Award winning scene.
He was the English teacher who teaches a group of troubled teens how to play soccer.
Okay.
At this high school. And I was the captain of the football team, you see, who was pressuring the head of the soccer team to throw the match so that I could gamble on it and make some money because I have a gambling problem.
Right.
Because, you know, it's an ABC after school special. You got to have something wrong with you.
There's got to be a point.
So poor Reggie, he's got to decide what he's going to do with his life. Is he going to finally turn the straight and narrow and do the right thing by his teammates and his teacher?
Right.
Or is he going to share in the ill-gotten gains that we would have made by gambling on a thrown match?
So, game's in 2 days. You talk to your team?
No, I'll have to.
Then it's all set. You throw the game. Reggie, my friend, you and I are going to be rolling in the dough.
Forget it.
What are you talking about?
Look, we're playing it straight. It's going to be a fair game, start to finish.
Wrong, man. You just made it.
Tomorrow on the Kevin and Bean Show, we have Sean Astin, we have Mark Wahlberg, we have Ozzy and Sharon Osbourne, we have Eva Mendez.
My God.
Yeah, it's going to be a jam-packed show, and we have Lightning, our producer, and Super Horror, assistant producer,
What's up, guys? In the studios.
And those are some of the better pitches that we've had that we said, sure, we'd love to have Eva Mendez. Are you kidding? Yeah, Mark Wahlberg, of course. But not all the ideas are maybe that good.
They're not all gold, no.
So we have occasionally...
I don't know what you're talking about. These are great.
Occasionally we have to do bad pitches.
Bad, 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 bad pitches for you.
Are you just trying to waste our time with your bad celebrity expert, spokesman, or public relations pitch?
Bad, 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 bad pitches for you.
Silly waste of time, dumb pitch.
Damn it.
So you're telling me that as bad as the Kevin and Bean Show is often, it would be even worse if we were to say yes to some of the things that people try to get on the radio with us here in the morning.
Oh, yeah. I mean, between Alex and I, we get probably 25 pitches per day, and one or two will run by you.
Yeah. I'm saying you'd rather talk to Chris Angel than what we're about to present to you.
Okay. Ooh. What kind of stuff are people pitching us on? Because maybe we're missing something.
These are legitimate. I'm going to kick it off with the 2007 Intelligent Use of Water International Film Festival. Come on.
How can we say no to that?
Guys,
what is that?
There's six filmmakers, and they're highlighting the importance of water conservation, and they're vying for cash prizes.
Okay. What kind of movies are they?
It's called One is a Drop of Life.
Okay.
Poop at the Zoo, or Adventures of I Heart H2O Man.
I don't think we're going to do that. By the way, I'm a little bit concerned to have Lightning being one of our filters as to what gets pitched.
Well, let's see.
But doesn't he look at stuff, and if it involves motorcycles, yeah, it's a yes, and anything else, it's a no, right?
But to my credit, I will turn to Alex, yeah. I'll turn to Ralph, someone in the Cycle Mics, I'll say, what do you think of this? They'll go, nah, don't bother.
All right. So let's see. What do you got?
Yeah, well, for instance, we were asked to speak with the CEO of Keys Furniture about how to invest in garden furniture.
What?
How to invest in
outdoor furniture. Yes.
And invest means buy.
Buy. The right types of furniture, the wrong type of furniture.
That's not good. Okay.
Yeah, we're not going to. All right. That's a bad pick.
Start with that. That's
a good one, Link. What do you got, Alex?
I want to talk to the expert on catastrophic fires.
Catastrophic fires?
James, oh, you sent me the book, right?
Yeah, I sent Bean the book because Bean wanted it. But Daniel James Brown can talk about disastrous fires throughout history and the regulations and changes that occurred as a result of the Hinckley fire.
Can you book him for my podcast, Alex?
I'd like to interview that dude.
What's the Hinckley fire?
Hinckley was some great firestorm that happened, and it was a big deal. I don't know.
All right, yeah, that's Bean's private time.
I got one for Kevin here.
Back to you, Light.
Kid Delicious, the world's greatest pool hustler, talking about his new book, Running the Table.
Kid Delicious.
Oh, this is the 17-year-old hustler, right?
Bean, of course, knows everything about him.
Don't tell me you actually want to talk to him.
Nope. I was tempted to pitch that to you guys.
Yeah, of course you were, because Bean is the creator of as many bad pitches as these guys get.
Excuse me, by the way, not to interrupt your segment, producers, but I got shot down this week when I tried to get Biba Golic on the show. She is the 27-year-old Serbian who's one of the top table tennis players in the world. She's called the Anna Kournikova of ping pong, and these guys wouldn't talk to her.
So she's hot and she's also bad?
Yeah, she's a ping pong
player.
That's good. So we said, what are you going to say to her, Bean? You're going to say, wow, you're hot and you play ping pong, and then we're out. I mean, there's no follow-up question to that. That's a horrible pitch.
She is one of the top 10 overall ranked ping pong players in the United States, and she's so hot. We should totally talk to her,
you guys. She's not so hot. She's hot for ping pong.
Oh, how dare you.
You can put her on your podcast. All right, who's next?
This is a tough room.
I have your new boyfriend, Chicken Charlie.
Chicken Charlie.
He wants to come on the show. He's the creator of all the world-famous fried food that they bring to all the fairs.
Oh.
So he could talk about his deep-fried frog legs, deep-fried cheesecake, deep-fried avocados, olives, and Oreos.
It's not food if you can't deep-fry it?
But he can bring in his heart attack-inducing foods. Chicken Charlie.
Now let's have him do that off the air. Okay.
Yep. All right. How about two doctors, Anish Sheath or Josh Richman, and their book, What's your poo telling you?
Really?
Deny it all. It says, deny it all you want. We're all guilty of looking before we flush.
Oh. What?
Thank you. What's your poo telling you?
That was South Park last night. Anybody that saw South Park?
Yeah, no kidding.
That's what that was about.
I saw one chapter of that book you're describing, Lightning, and it was called I Don't Even Remember Eating Any Nuts. So I don't know what...
Oh, dear God.
All right, I'm going to end on probably the best one I've gotten.
Okay.
That Dave the King of Mexico will not shut up about.
Okay, he can do it in his podcast.
Free meat!
Free meat.
We got pitched free meat by the WWE because they want to talk about Raw. See their show Raw? Yes.
So the tie-in is they're going to give us free meat?
Yep, we'd get Omaha steaks if we talked about Raw on Mondays. I swear to God. Free meat right here. Check it
free
out. There
meat.
It is.
Look at that. Giant letters.
Free meat, everybody.
Picture of meat.
I get free meat all the time.
Yeah, well, right.
Yeah, you certainly do. Yeah.
I think in general, if meat is free, you don't want it.
This is it. This is the one, guys.
All right, Lightning.
Jeannie Linders, the writer-producer of Menopause, the musical.
Yes. So perfect for our audience.
Menopause, the musical.
It's the celebration of women in change.
No. There will be no celebrating.
Oh, my God.
No.
I've never seen that show. Let me just
say. If Lisa's drawing the line.
I won't go.
All right. We're out on all of this. I'm sorry.
Bad. Pitches for you.
Are you just trying to waste our time with your bad celebrity expert spokesman or public relations pitch?
Bad. Pitches for you.
Silly waste of time. Dumb pitch.
Damn it.
Now the... It doesn't bother you that we all hate you? 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:34.
What do we need to do to get rid of him?
I don't know.
What steps do we have to take?
I don't know.
Enough's enough, isn't it?
I agree. I'm with you. We're all on the same page. He needs to go. All right, time for your phone call.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or a 1.
What it do, nephew?
1-800-520-1067. Get on the air and win a pair of tickets to the 35th annual Halloween Haunt coming up on Sunday. Knott's has transformed the old berry farm into Knott's Scary Farm, guys. 13 shocking walkthrough mazes and rethemed rides, including Pyromaniacs, the Doll Factory, the Killer Clown College. Just sounds better than ever, and it's running for 27 nights around the Halloween season. So that's what you win for being on the air with Kevin Beans. What to do, nephew?
You have to go to college to become a killer clown?
Yes.
I think that's one of the...
In modern times, take all the fun out of it. In my day, you can just be a killer clown. Just go out there and just learn on the job. You don't have to go to some college for it. Let's start out there, dress up as a clown, kill people. That's what I say.
Let's start with Robert in Pasadena. Good morning, Robert.
Hey, how you guys doing?
We are good.
Good.
I got one of these radio journal guides that I'm supposed to fill out for the next 3 days, and I was wondering if you could help me out with it.
We are only able to tell you that if you indeed listen to the Kevin and Bean Show all the time, if that's true,
yes,
then write it in. If not, don't.
You should write down what you actually listen to, and if you happen to listen to us all the time, every day, you should write that down.
But if you don't. That's all we're saying.
Follow your heart is what we're saying.
The only problem with that is I'm at Huntington Hospital. My wife went into labor early. We have a newborn, and I'm stuck here trapped for the next few days.
Well, I don't know what to tell you about that. I don't know how to help you with that.
Don't they have radios in a hospital?
With poor reception, yes.
Okay, well. We can do more.
Well, we'll come to your wife's room. We'll do the show from your wife's room. We'll broadcast live from there. How about that?
Wonderful. There's plenty of room here at the maternity ward.
We'll have a live show there in the hospital.
Great.
I'm sure they'll like that.
And Lisa, we'll even suckle some babies.
Oh, there you go.
I'm the new wet nurse.
Yes, you are.
Robert doesn't sound all that wrapped up in his wife having a baby this week. If he's got time to call us about his radio journals.
That's weird. Filling out all the diaries.
His poor wife.
Giving me the reminders. Please fill it in. Please remember to fill it in. We mailed you a dollar. I'm like, for God's sake.
No, it's worth it for a dollar, isn't it?
You should return it and mail them back two.
That's a good system they've got. We're fans of it.
Robert, good luck to you and your family. Thanks for calling, right?
And we love you. Don't forget that.
Let's go.
We appreciate every little thing you do and think and say about us.
And we do the show from 5 a.m. till 10 a.m. weekday mornings on KROQ 106.7 FM just for you.
Right, but only put the truth in.
Yes.
Eddie and Torrance, good morning.
All right, good morning. What to do, nephew?
Hi, what to do?
What to do?
Hey, I just want to get a bit of a clarification. We know we have our guy that calls up and says, Santa Monica!
Right, yeah.
But I'm just wondering, can other K-Rock listeners do it as well?
I don't know. That guy's a professional.
I think he's got the market cornered.
What's happening? What's going on?
And we don't need anyone to do that.
The hell was that noise?
That's work.
Dude, get out. It's going to blow.
I think we're all on the same page on this, but I think that dude is the Santa Monica dude. I'm sorry. I don't think it would make any sense to start adding on new Santa Monica people.
He kind of cornered the market.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Yeah. Yeah.
A minute ago.
Exactly those words?
Sorry.
Exactly
cornered
the market?
Words. I said he cornered,
really?
He cornered the market on that.
Wow.
Yeah.
Thank you, Eddie.
You got to pay attention.
That's
Lisa.
Amazing.
You have to just keep your head in the game
it's
a little
tough
bit.
I mean,
that first guy,
I get
that
bored.
First guy cornered the market, so really.
Margie in Long Beach, good morning.
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
Good. What did you do?
Earlier when Ralph was talking about Bobby Brown having his heart attack.
Yes.
TMZ had mentioned that he also made a video message to his family in case he didn't make it.
No kidding.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and then last night on the TMZ show, one of the girls was talking how some of his family members are trying to get a hold of the video so they could sell it.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, now that's a family right there. Oh. That's a family.
Oh. I'd kill for that tape.
You know what? I'm disgusted by it, yet I want to see the tape desperately.
I do too.
Yeah, me too.
I'm torn.
This is about the guy that didn't have the heart attack, though, right?
That's right. What he's claiming.
He didn't have it. All right. Just checking.
His lawyer says, oh, yeah, he had a mild heart attack. By the way, I love the way they phrase it. It was a mild heart attack. Like, you know, it was okay.
It was a good one.
Yeah, it was a good one. He's fine.
He's fine, like Hasselhoff.
Let me just give you a little hint. All heart attacks? Bad.
Not good.
Serious.
All right, let's go to Irene in Lakewood. Good morning, Irene.
Good morning. How'd it do, nephew?
How'd it do?
How'd it do to you?
How'd it do?
What's going on?
Well, it do, but I'm so confused and I have a problem.
Okay. Yes, you are confused.
You guys
wow. I do have a problem.
What's going
okay,
on?
Okay, my son is 10 years old.
Yes.
I listen to you guys all the time, so in the morning when I'm dropping them off to school, I get here at 8.
Right.
And of course, you guys always have to be talking about penises and sex.
But
and
that's why we play those warnings that we play all the time for people just like you, so you'll change the channel.
I know, but I don't want to change it.
Okay, you're excellent parents.
All right,
then that's your choice.
Here's the guide to parenting I think you should always follow. Put your own needs and desires well in front of your children's. It's always a good rule of thumb.
That's going to be the best way to parent.
Yeah.
Hey, that's like the excitement in my life. Come on, I'm a mom with two kids.
Listen, if that's your choice, then we're saying more power to you.
That's right.
So he's always listening to it, and he's like, Mom, I really want to listen to it. Yeah. And I said, honey, I can't let you listen to it because you're not old enough yet.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But if they're going through the talk at school, they're going through the talk. It's the talk. It's a big deal at school right now.
Oh, the sex talk.
Yes, the sex talk.
Okay.
So I don't know what to do. Do I tell him as a mother, you know, it's really going to be embarrassing for me. Do I say, okay, this is what girls have a vagina? Because he always asks, Mom, how are babies born?
All right, Irene.
No, once again, if any parenting embarrasses you in the slightest way, just don't
don't
do
it.
Yeah, don't give your children that information.
Here's my thing. Why would you call us and ask us how to parent?
Because,
what about us makes you think this is going to be good advice?
You'd be
I need
better
to follow.
Off calling Britney Spears for advice.
For God's sakes, Irene.
No, because I trust you guys.
We're just a-holes on a radio station.
No. I totally confide in you guys.
All right. Well, that's a bad choice.
Yeah. Look, clearly I'm the one who needs to answer this question.
Okay, being with no kids
clearly
but 75 animals.
But I know I read a lot,
okay,
and I think
good.
I've got a responsible take on this. And Kevin, please, as a father, you jump in and tell me if I'm wrong. Kids don't need to know everything, okay? They're not looking for lots of detailed information and diagrams. They don't need to know from start to finish how the whole baby process works. You just give them a little bit at a time as it is necessary. If the kid says, where do babies come from? Don't make up some fantastical story about the stork or anything like that. Just say they come from inside the woman's belly. And if the kid wants more information, they ask for more information. You piece it out that way. It doesn't have to be a big sit-down thing where you're all sweating, nervous, and trying to give too much information at one time to a kid who's not ready for it.
But while that's true, if you want to listen to our show, then ruin your kid's life by letting him listen as well. That's
yes.
That's good advice. You're a good mother, Irene.
Yeah.
Sit the kid down, give him a pack of Cools and Ducati, crack open a cold one, put on some porn, and let him just learn just by watching. Because that'll take you out of the equation. At least you won't be embarrassed.
Yeah, that's true. All right, let's go to Adrian in Duarte. Good morning.
What are you doing, nephew?
What are you
doing? What are you doing, baby?
What are you doing, Adrian?
So last week, my girlfriend's parents are out of town, so she invites me over. And we start arguing about...
Yeah, baby. Yeah.
You start arguing about...
So we start arguing about how it's possible to light your farts on fire.
Well, who's arguing? I mean, that's clearly scientifically been proven.
Yeah, it's a fact.
Yeah, she didn't know that.
Okay.
So we kept arguing, then she left. She's like, I'm going to go rent a movie real quick. Just be careful. Watch my parents.
Okay.
So I get the brightest idea to light my fart on fire as soon as she walks in the door.
You're going
to
show her scientific proof.
Yeah.
Okay.
To prove it to her. As soon as the door opens, I light my fart on fire. Ends up being her father.
It was her dad walking in the door. Now, so did he applaud? Was he surprised by that?
He was surprised, and he was angry to find me in her... in her daughter's room, butt naked, just like a fart on fire.
Oh, he didn't mention the butt naked
part. He didn't say you were naked.
I'm naked.
Oh, yeah. That's the best.
Buried the lead there.
And playing with fire.
What are you doing, I imagine, was his question.
They said, that was nothing. Let me show you how to light a fart.
Then he stripped down, and then the daughter came home. Thanks for the call. Wow, that's not embarrassing.
Mm-hmm. No.
That's good.
All right, I guess that's a good one to go out on, right?
Yeah. You don't need to get naked to light your farts, by the way.
No, it goes right through the clothes.
I do right through your jeans. All the time. Yeah. All the time.
Really?
Oh, all sure.
The time. I love it. Wow. There's nothing better in the world than a blue flame. It's the best.
Wasn't our buddy Ace Carolla, wasn't he the undisputed champion of fart fights? Yeah. And he's the best,
don't
right?
Don't even start. I live heavyweight champion of the world. The guy, remember?
Get the lights!
Really?
He would always say, get the lights! Scream to me, hit the lights! Hey, hit the lights!
And I had to go over and I would have to turn off the light switch and then he would ignite. And then he'd laugh and roll around the floor like a puppy.
Yeah, here's the beautiful thing about that is like a puppy, it was always as fresh as the first time. It was a surprise and made him full of glee. He was just thrilled.
Never got tired of it.
No.
He get on his back and pull his leg up towards his head, like Lisa May, like on a Saturday night. And then so he could watch himself because he wouldn't want to miss it.
Just laugh.
So just like me again.
Yeah. Exactly. grab the Bic, the butane lighter, and just whoosh.
Just like her.
Just like Lisa.
Fantastic. Well, no celebrity guest to speak of on today's Kevin Abid Show, but thanks to writer for the LA Times, Paul Pringle, for joining us. The article is called The Trouble with Rehab Malibu Style. If you're like needing detox right now and you're not sure where to turn, this article might be a good place to start. But that's about it. We've saved all the big guests for tomorrow morning's Friday morning Kevin Abid Show.
Yeah, tomorrow we have Sean Astin talking about the final seasons.
Yes, I can't believe he's doing television.
Not Sean Connery.
With those meerkats.
Oh, different Sean?
Yeah, different Sean. We have Mark Wahlberg tomorrow. We're supposed to have him today. I think we're going to have him tomorrow for We Own the Night. We also have Eva Mendez tomorrow. We Own the Night.
What is that noise?
Our intern, Shaolin, has a radio show.
I cannot wait for this.
Called Sexy Time. And we're going to have highlights of that tomorrow morning. We're going to do the Incubus Grand Prize drawing, send somebody to Mexico to see them on their final stop of the tour. We got Movie Beat, and Ozzy and Sharon Osbourne will be in our studios.
Dude, great. How about that?
Wow. All tomorrow morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. Wow. So we ripped you off today. Tomorrow we're going to try and make it up to you.
We also have the most attractive table tennis player you'll ever see in your life. She is the Anna Kournikova of ping pong. Joins us tomorrow morning on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Beans podcast right there.
Kat Corbett's up next with 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock. Stick around for Sublime, also Linkin Park, Nirvana, Red Hot Chili Peppers, the new one from Beck called Time Bomb, Green Day, so much more right after this on K-Rock.